much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
I drink your milkshake.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
It's practice time again. Translate these sentences into Spanish. We were getting it on in the shower.
Echábamos un polvo en la ducha.
There's in your hair.
Hay en tu pelo.
I have always wanted to see two lesbians in action.
Siempre he querido ver a dos lesbianas en acción.
Does anybody here speak English?
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you
common.
A regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's winter time? So, anyways.
That guy. What do you need him for?
No, I'm gonna get high tonight, though. I'm gonna get very high tonight. I'm gonna get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like, motherfucker.
Sounds pretty outrageous.
And now.
You know.
Oh, Lisa, you're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Lisa.
You know, does it ring a bell being she's Chinese but born in Japan?
Our feature presentation.
What kind of bell?
Does that ring a bell, Bean?
Does that ring a bell?
Hey, by the way, that was a compilation of requested clips for our friend Kevin at the Kevin Bean Archive, who's celebrating his birthday today. It's the first time this has ever happened, but he wrote to me and he said, "Hey, I've got some requests for my birthday if you wouldn't mind."
That was
a special mix just for him. If you haven't heard of the Kevin Bean Archive, you can just do a Google search for those names, and this guy is the official. Well, I guess we'd have to call him unofficial because he doesn't get paid, but he's the historian of the Kevin Amin show. Whenever there's tape we don't have, we go to him and he has it. It's unbelievable. He's got, I don't know how far back he goes, but it's an amazing collection of audio from this program.
Kevin's a good dude, too.
He is a good dude. Yeah.
That, so happy
Thanks,
birthday.
Man. Thank you.
No, the other Kevin.
Oh.
But it is weird that, I mean, the amount of time and energy he's invested in this project could have been used for something fun and interesting. That's what I don't get about Kevin.
That could have happened, but he makes bad choices. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and the only one who makes worse choices than him is his dear wife, who married him. So, I mean, the two of them together. He's got a kid.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's got a real job and everything. He's a regular Joe. He just has this aberration of following the Kevin and Bean show. I mean, God bless him for that, but still.
Yeah, but still.
Tonked up, right?
Morning, everybody. It is a Wednesday morning. Time to take your phone calls. The number, as usual, is 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
So that's the phone number. You call us, you get on the air, you get a prize, and you would think that I would have opened that paperwork by now, but I have not. So here's Kevin to tell you what you win.
You win a pair of passes to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights and a pair of Run of Engagement passes to see Saw 6.
Isn't Universal Halloween Horror Nights where the most horrifying movies come to life for the first time ever? You can take on the infamous traps from the Saw in the all-new maze? Is that what I hear?
It's awesome. You have to go. Like, they sell it, you know, with the tagline, the most horrifying movies come to life, but they kind of really do. They recreated all the whole neighborhood of the original Halloween, and it's spooky, and they have all the real, like, traps from the Saw movies, and you go through the Saw
movies. Oh, that's
like,
cool.
Like, it really is unbelievable.
Can you literally lose a foot or an arm or something?
I think so. If you hang out long enough, you're going to cut your own arm. You're going to cut your own foot off.
Excellent.
Well, I think they expect to lose one per tour that goes through, right? I mean, that's just the way it works.
It's worth it for the rest of the people.
Exactly.
Saw 6, by the way, in theaters Friday. If it's Halloween, it must be Saw. So that's the deal on that. 1-800-520-1067. Hey, speaking of Halloween and horror movies, let's start with Chris. He is on line 2 today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Chris.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. What it do, Matthew?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, I just wanted to ask Ralph if there are any good non-traditional horror movies out there better than, like, Freddy vs. Jason or any of those. Like
non-traditional? That's a good question. Ralph's in the other room right now, but maybe we'll have him do like a video vault or something of some great movies for Halloween time.
What do you mean by non-traditional? You mean movies that are or aren't something in particular? Like no blood? Like, or what are you talking about?
Like, there's a good movie out called Trick or Treat right now that, like, never released in a theater. But, you know, like, movies like that, like, you know, like small little gems like that would be good.
Ralph, do you know any little gems like that?
Little gems like that. There is a movie coming out in the next couple of weeks
with Willem Dafoe called Antichrist.
Oh, that looks good, the trailer.
Which, by all accounts, is absolutely horrifying and will give you nightmares.
Right on.
And that's going to be in limited release, so you can go see that on the big screen coming up. I think it's around Halloween time.
Excellent.
There you go. All right, thank
okay.
you.
You can always rent Deathbed, too.
Yeah, do not rent that.
Deathbed, the bed that eats?
Do not rent Deathbed.
Pretty scary to me.
It's not scary.
All right.
It's bad.
Scary, though.
Not.
Sort of scary.
Not even.
I'm saying a little scary.
But bad.
Let's go to Nick. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
What it do?
All right, so I got drunk with my buddies a couple of days ago, and he ended up having a tattoo machine, and wasn't really a good idea, so I kind of got a tattoo of a happy face on my right ball.
Wait, 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 wait. A tattoo of a happy face?
Yeah.
On a ball?
On my right ball, and yeah, it felt great.
Okay. Was this a licensed tattooer who did it? Or tattooist, I guess they're called?
I'm sorry, what?
Was this a professional who did it or just one of your friends with a knife?
It was just one of my buddies with just one of the tattoo machines.
Oh, my God.
So one of your buddies that didn't know what he was doing?
No. I mean, he is kind of an artist, not really trying to get there, but he just ended up tattooing my right ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have to be pretty low on the list of places I would hope to ever be tattooed. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
That's not even on my list.
I mean, I think I would choose it over my eyeball. I mean, there are places worse on your body you could get a tattoo, but not by much.
No way.
So how long ago did you do it? A couple days?
It would take a couple weeks, actually.
All right. How does it look now? Is it looking good?
Well, one eye's bigger than the other.
Sure.
Yeah, that's not getting better with time, by the way.
No, that's a great point, Lisa.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
What a conversation starter, though.
It's going to be the horror. Yeah. The scream.
I have no idea.
Hey, I don't know. I mean, I don't think we could do anything with it, but we'd love to see a photo.
Oh, okay.
For our own use. Yeah, we'd love to see a photo. We have to see that. I wish we could put it on the website, but I don't think that's going to be possible. But just for our own entertainment, please send it to us, okay?
All right.
All right, dude. Well done.
That's why.
How about that?
That's why drinking rules right there, because a guy will get a happy face tattoo on his ball.
Unfortunately, there aren't very many I got drunk and got a bad tattoo stories, because most tattoo artists are pretty responsible about that.
Sure.
They don't want the repercussion. Reed get sued if the guy comes back and says, how could you give me a tattoo when I was obviously drunk? So it doesn't happen very often, but it is pretty funny when it does.
Let's go to KC. Good morning, KC.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
I got a scary Halloween story for you.
All right.
The Phantom Pooper strikes again. I was talking about saying that they caught him on the bus, but I have a job where it's my job to clean the bathroom at the restaurant. I walked in, dirty paper towels all over the floor.
Oh, my God. Oh. Why do people do that?
I'm starting to believe that the Phantom Pooper is an entity, not a person.
Could be. Like could take over different people at different times.
Kind of like the Hanky Poo.
Sure.
The Phantom Pooper, you know. I think you were just worth the mask. That's the only difference.
Let's play armchair psychologist for a moment, Casey, and guess what the thrill could be for somebody to do that.
I don't even know, man. I don't want to go that way.
The only thing that I could imagine is somebody going, man, God has to clean this up. It's so screwed.
Of course.
I mean, other than that, I don't even understand it.
It was like they weren't even trying to make it in the toilet.
Of course.
Yes, they weren't.
It was just the opposite. They're trying not to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Doc can't stay at home all the time. Sometimes he leaves his house. You know, what can we do?
Yes, Mike.
I have to assume it's the developmentally disabled, right? Because, like, at psych wards, that always happens.
Yeah.
So I'm just assuming
somebody's mentally off.
Yeah, possible. We're messed up, that's for sure.
Well, it gave you an interesting day, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Good times. Thank you for the call.
Let's try line one. This sounds interesting. George is calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, George, what it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Yeah, in the great state of Connecticut, there was a girl singing karaoke out of all states. I thought it would be in New York City or L.A. She's singing karaoke, and all of a sudden, these six girls that don't like the way she's singing get up and beat her up. Came out in the L.A. Times. I was
nice.
Like, no way. This sounds like the Inquirer, not the L.A. Times.
So six girls went up on stage and beat her down? What song was she singing? Do we know?
Yes, as a matter of fact. The ironic part about it, maybe Psycho Mike can translate it for you. It's a song by a Spanish singer called Juanes, Adios Le Pido. And I'm like, what?
What? What is that, Mike? Do you know?
Is that goodbye to my penis?
Oh, this guy.
Yeah, I think so.
No, it means I ask of God.
I ask of God.
I was a little
off.
Close. Yeah. Close. All right, well, good times. That's you don't want karaoke to go south. That's all I know.
She must have been horrible.
Yeah, but
but that's the point of karaoke,
yeah.
Right?
No, yeah. That's good. And you don't beat somebody up because they're horrible.
I don't know. They could be bad enough that it could be justified, I think.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, George.
Although George is more excited about it than I would have possibly imagined anyone could be. I'll tell you that.
Does seem to be very happy. And let's go to Leo. Hi, Leo.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning. What'd it do?
What'd it do?
Hi, I'm calling because I think you had a segment like last week, the week before, about fighting relatives on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Fighting relatives, yes.
Yeah, I found one of my relatives on the internet. It was on a date chat line. And on this date chat line, it's kind of like something that you would not want to see. But I found one of my cousins on there, and this chat line tends to reveal everything, like all your junk and all that.
Right.
And I haven't seen my cousin in years, and I didn't recognize it until I was at my grandmother's house and happened to see one of her pictures on there. That's how I come to recognize that it was her.
Right.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we didn't get to... I emailed her on that site, and I think she kind of got, like, really embarrassed. It was, like, really odd.
Because you asked her out? You want to go out on a date?
Well,
no.
She is hot, but no.
Come on. First cousin or second cousin?
She's my second cousin.
Okay. All right.
Oh, nothing wrong with that, dude. Right. Seriously. What's slowing you down?
Hot is hot. You know?
Yeah. So it was kind of odd when we came to, like, the reunion, and I seen her after all these years, and we kind of seemed, like, a little shy to see each other, and it was interesting. It was, I don't know, but she's kind of hot, you know? Don't get me wrong.
You guys need to get together and make some more relatives for the next, family get-together.
Yeah.
We're serious, so, dude.
All right. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
$10? Tucky. All right, thank you. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
It is Wednesday morning. We're going to talk about our phone screener, Miss Cleo, who has a problem with the law.
She's something else, too, because, like so many people, it's not her, it's the rest of the world.
She has received about 200 tickets in the last day.
Fail! Epic fail.
And she wants to know how to get out of it, so we're going to help her out today. We also have Joe Rogan in the studio.
There it is.
Funny man, Joe Rogan.
Great.
Always the best, talking UFC 104, which, of course, is this weekend.
I wonder if he regrets his decision to move to Colorado since he's already had snow this year.
That's a great question.
Because you know how excited he was to move there, and he thought it was going to be great, but... There's a reason some people live in Southern California. It's because it doesn't snow.
Yeah, it makes a
big
difference.
It's not for everybody.
But I have to guess that he put that was part of his decision.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he knows it snows there.
Right. I think anytime it snows, you know, the first week of October, it's bad surprise. I don't care where you are.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, that's why we don't live someplace like that. Kevin Smith will be here again today, and we have some tickets for him. We're going to play Stump Kevin. We have Gerard Butler on the program today from Law Abiding Citizen.
That's okay with me.
So that's coming up as well. And we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:53.
Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, an interview with a real-life hooker. You give her money, and she returns with poon.
What?
That's the relationship that you have with her.
She returns with it? Where does she go to get it?
Where does she get it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what she gives you back.
Oh,
for the currency, yeah. Mm. So it's a pretty good deal. She works at the Bunny Ranch, and we'll be talking to her coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph has our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, where's your slacker sidekick, your superhero sidekick today?
I'm guessing he is in the drive-thru at a McDonald's near us. That's what I'm guessing.
Probably, yeah.
Mr. Smith doesn't really function in the morning without an Egg McMuffin down his gullet and a large orange juice. So I'm guessing he's in the drive-thru.
Kevin, breakfast burrito and Diet Coke, please. Anyone else?
I would like the biscuit McMuffin, that deal with the egg and sausage biscuit. large coffee would be great. Okay. And those hash browns, they're good.
Oh, too. Those are good too. I'll take
so
some of those.
If you're listening, Smith, that's right. Where our order is. Although, maybe Kevin Smith can't make it in this morning because he's just too bereaved.
Bereaved?
Why?
Yeah, he's just too racked with sadness.
What happened? What's
well,
sad?
You heard the news this morning.
I didn't hear anything sad.
Oh, Kevin.
I didn't hear
anything
sad.
Do you turn on the radio when you come into work? Do you watch television?
Not really.
Do you read a newspaper? It's everywhere. We're mourning the passing of the great Vic Mizzy.
I don't know who Mizzy is.
Oh, I think you do. I think you know who Vic Mizzy is.
I don't. Vic Mizzy?
Vic Mizzy. He is not only the writer of, but the voice on this famous song.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky.
Yeah.
They're all together ooky, the Addams Family.
Wow.
Yeah. The house is a museum.
Legendary.
When people come to see them.
TV theme composer Vic Mizzy, who gave us not only The Addams Family, but also Green Acres, has passed away at the age of 93 years old.
Good riddance. That's a terrible song.
Well, how dare you, sir?
That's
they
terrible.
Are spooky.
And ooky.
And ooky.
Come on. That's not a rhyme.
Rhymes to me.
Many, many years ago, we had Mr. Mizzy as a guest on our program.
And, we did?
What?
We did. Oh, you should have quit then.
Under what circumstances?
You should have just taken yourself out of the game if that's where you were.
We did a lot of Addams Family stuff in the early days of the Kevin Mizzy, as you know.
Yes.
And he was, well, he was in his 80s then. And when I heard the news recently that he had passed away, I thought, how could that dude have still been alive? I was shocked by that.
Because he's
I remember
ooky.
How old he was. Yeah, that's it, I guess.
He had lots of ookiness. So rest in peace, Vic Mizzy. It's a great name, by the way, Vic Mizzy. Now that he's not using it anymore, I might pick it up.
Change your name legally?
Make that my new radio name.
Is
hey,
he in the hizzy?
DJ Vic Mizzy. In the hizzy. Mizzy in the hizzy. That'll be my Saturday afternoon show here. Hope you all tune in. Mel Gibson's son, William, apparently at odds with his dad. Not too pleased. The dad decided to leave mom and shack up with a Russian singer/model.
Well, did he see her, though?
Yeah, she's not hot, really.
Huh. How did mom?
That's true. Well, mom's had 27 kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Poor girl. So upset with dad, says the National Enquirer, that he has decided to leave his family behind, relocate to Africa, and become a missionary.
Wow, that's upset.
That is a big FU right there to dad.
Yeah. That is really more
I
upset.
I would rather live in Africa than be part of this family. I'm going to go drink sulfur water out of a stream, eat a bag of beans a month, and...
Wow.
Say... Jesus loves you.
There's something wrong with that child. You just don't say things like that.
Yeah. Russell Brand and Katy Perry. This relationship is starting to get on my last nerve.
Me too. That's not right.
It's the longer it lasts, the less right it gets.
Giant size can.
She's vivacious, stunning, stacked.
Yep.
Makes me happy to be alive. He is greasy.
Yeah.
Smells of patchouli.
Yeah.
Needs a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
All of
nice them. Melons.
And they are wildly in love, apparently. And he's doing anything he can to keep her, as you can understand. Recently, in London, the two were there in England, and they saw a petting zoo.
Yeah.
And apparently, Katy Perry fell in love with the darling little animals, the goats and the sheep and the pigs and the what have you. But she didn't want to go in there because the paparazzi were following them, and she didn't want people taking pictures of her petting the animals.
Because that couldn't get out.
So they they forewent the visit to the petting zoo. However, the next day she wakes up and what's going on outside?
Oh, really?
Russell Brand had called the petting zoo and had all the animals brought over and unloaded into his backyard for her to visit with.
Permanently?
No, just for the day.
He How
about brought
that?
The petting zoo to her.
That is awesome.
Boobies. I like boobies.
What men will do for boobies.
No kidding.
There you go.
Look, I know he's famous and popular and whatnot, but even he, every single day, has to think, I am so out of my league with this one.
Yeah. Although have you ever seen his dance card?
Yep. Have
you ever seen his resume?
It's impressive.
It's wildly impressive. Just about every smoking hot actress/model in the greater United Kingdom area has been in his bed at one time or another.
He's got
I would
on,
like to
guys.
Extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Are you saying there's a party in your family? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Carrie Fisher. Always, forever.
How
known as Princess Leia in the Star Wars trilogy. 53
right.
years old.
I just wanted to clarify that it wasn't a Star Wars sound effect that we were playing as much as it was.
Carrie Fisher may not be the attractive young woman she once was.
I don't think she's really trying to be anymore.
Right, but it wouldn't hurt her to try a little.
But you don't have to get aggressive about it. You don't have to. You have to become. You don't have to swing to the other side of the pendulum arc.
Well,
to go for
life,
vapidly overweight lesbianosity. You don't have to shoot for that.
This is why it's dangerous to get married, because let's face it, when you saw her at 25, you would have probably bet the farm that she was going to end up being hot when she was old. But what a surprise she turned out to be.
Let me tell you a little something. The majority of women look pretty good in their 20s.
Don't
look so hot in their 50s.
Well, that's true of guys, too.
Vast majority.
But there are lots of exceptions, though. Like, I saw Jacqueline Smith on TV this week. She's 63 years old. She's unbelievably good-looking.
Yeah, but she is the rare exception.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's what you hope for.
Yeah,
and
but
that's the danger.
Odds are you're going to get a Carrie Fisher over a Jacqueline Smith. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
And if it's you, they're going to leave you if you get a Jacqueline Smith. Bean.
Well, that's if it's Bean, sure.
He never has her.
There are decisions Carrie Fisher could have made along the way to not be this way.
Sure.
Fewer
that's what
drugs.
I said. She doesn't have to. She doesn't have to take advantage of our generosity and really abuse the privilege of getting older, which she has done. But, however, I'm saying, even in the best case scenario, she would probably pale.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
To her slave bikini days. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Jeremy Miller of Growing Pains.
Yeah!
Also not a good-looking guy. He was a good-looking kid. Now 33, doesn't look so good anymore. Mm-hmm. See? So it affects us all. Kim Kardashian.
Glendale.
Still looking good.
Still looking good at 29. Yeah, even at the ripe old age of 29, she's still very attractive. I don't know how she pulled it off. But even
deal with the devil, I guess.
29, she still looks good.
God, she's hot.
I would have sworn.
Playboy hot.
I would have sworn at 26. Oh, no. No way she'll hold on to 29. But yet, she still looks good.
I love her. She's super hot.
Yes, you do.
Doesn't she need to stop with the, like, super wacky hair and clothes lately?
She is getting extreme, with the sort of haute couture hair pulled up tight and extreme makeup and interesting fashion decisions. Just put on a bikini and just do that.
Because she's pretty enough that she could just be kind of natural and play it, play it down a little bit.
And
still look
best. Looks at her best when she's shopping on Rodeo or whatever. They snap her on Robertson and she's just walk around in jeans and high heels.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Once again, that bit never gets old.
I'll do it again. You got another
girl? Get the little pink.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with
his beat.
It's my favorite use of the word dig it in a song, I think, probably. It's my number one. K-Rock's Give Till It Hurts Blood Drive is this Friday. Universal Studios Hollywood from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Ralph and Kevin Smith will both be down there this Friday morning. Tons of prizes for everybody who donates. And go to krock.com for details. It is 6:41.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Our co-host this week is the great Kevin Smith, writer, director, sometimes actor. He's going to be joining us back here in the studio in just a couple of minutes. Also, Joe Rogan is going to be on the program today and Gerard Butler. Our little friend Psycho Mike has been buzzing around all week long with a story he's been dying to tell us. And we, as you know, we do everything we can to keep Mike off the air. We have received your emails, your Afro calls. We know how you feel about Mike. We're right there with you. He is strictly a sound down guy, but he promises us we'll be happy when we hear this story. So we're going to give him the opportunity.
Monday night, I was lucky enough to be asked to co-host Loveline. So I drove out here a little early to do some editing for this show, and all the studios were taken. So I was going to kill time at this cool vintage clothing shop that's right near the station. I walk in, I'm kind of checking everything out, and I turn the corner on these huge, tall clothing racks. So you're almost blinded by what's around the corner.
Right.
I turn the corner, and I am now face-to-face with Megan Fox.
All right,
no
then.
Way.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, the Megan Fox, the actress?
Yeah.
Not some hag named Megan Fox, but the real one? You're not trying to pull a fast one on us?
No. And it's funny because before I even noticed her face, because I kind of walk with my head down, I saw her arms searching through clothes, and I saw the Marilyn Monroe tattoo.
Sure.
And so I was like, whoa, that's strange. And I turned to look at her face, and I was like, oh, my God.
Did you say,
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party?
No, it's almost as good. This is what I said.
That's it?
No,
that's what you
swear
said.
To God.
Mike,
yeah. You made that noise?
I went, because she, when I turned the corner, like I said, I mean, we were really close together. I turned the corner, it was like her there.
Right.
And she looks at me, and she's not, you know, in an interesting way, just looked at me to look at me, and I went,
Wouldn't it have been better if you just didn't make any noise?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But I didn't know, like, I was really overwhelmed by emotions because I was so, like, it was weird because that particular night is very comfortable in my skin. I felt cool. I felt like everything was going rad. I was
You were 15 minutes away from hanging out with Lemmy from Motorhead on Loveline. You were the man.
No,
right?
I really did. I had a little extra strut, you know,
because
I'm not that guy usually. And all of that just oozed out of my body the second I saw her. I just turned. I just became super conscious of everything I was doing.
I have many questions for you. The first has to be, how did she look?
She's beautiful. She's absolutely stunning. She is.
Okay.
She can't look any better than she does in photos.
She doesn't.
She
but
can.
She
looks the same, though.
She didn't appear to have it. I didn't, like, check her face out because, like I said, I got over flustered. Mm-hmm. But no makeup on, really, and just kind of, like, sweatpants and flip-flops.
Wow.
And she's
awesome.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
So was the anchor with her, or was she by herself?
Well, that's the thing. So I'm, like, hanging out essentially next to her because this store has kind of intermixed women and men's clothing. So I was just looking close next to her.
Because you buy women's clothes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, do I say something? And I, like I said, I'm really self-conscious now. And Brian Ossegree comes around the corner like 2 minutes later. He's like, what do you think of these boots?
He's Spencer?
And she's like, those are cool. So, and then I got disappointed because he's there.
Right.
Well, she takes a bunch of clothes.
But wait a minute. Let me see if I understand. So the fact that he's there means that you're not going to be able to take her home? That's the only problem
it's
there?
It's weird because I totally failed on every level. But yet at the same time, I was disappointed as if there was some chance if he wasn't there.
Right. But did you buy a new pair of girl jeans like you do while you were there at least?
No, I actually didn't buy anything. But I followed her around essentially for the next 10 minutes.
Oh, that had to be comfortable.
And
well,
luckily the place is really small, so it didn't. I could follow her around without looking like I was following her around. She goes back to the dressing rooms, the female dressing rooms, and they're like most dressing rooms where the door, there's like a foot of space on the bottom,
right?
So you could see someone's feet and legs,
right? Right.
So I just sat there for like maybe 5 to 10 minutes watching her take her pants off.
Oh,
you could see, yeah, exactly.
Wait, that's the best. Were the dressing rooms for guys and girls?
No.
These were separate dressing rooms for girls?
Yes.
And you were sitting outside of them?
Yes.
All right, good.
Standing. I was kind of trying to make it seem like I wasn't, but I was.
Like you were looking at stuff.
Yeah.
Where was Brian Austin Green at this point?
Sitting down right in front of that dressing room. He like was, you know, playing with his BlackBerry, hanging out, waiting for her. He was, you know, hanging out, waiting for her.
Right.
I was like...
Behind
10,
him.
10 feet behind him, standing. Yeah, exactly. Pretending like I'm text messaging people.
Look,
doing anything
I know you
I could.
I know you couldn't see anything but her ankles, but the fact that you were seeing her legs with pants on and then pants off,
that's
pretty sweet.
And say what you want. Yeah, it's pathetic. But I was 1 inch of balsa wood away from Megan Fox with no pants on.
Right.
And I was looking at her. I was looking at her legs while she took her pants off.
Did she come out and say, how do these look? And then you quickly respond before Brian Austin Green, that's your in?
No.
Aww.
No, I did nothing. I totally failed. I couldn't think of anything witty, creative. I couldn't even think of anything like normal.
In English.
You know, like normally you can count on me to at least do something super embarrassing.
Of course.
To like get noticed. I did nothing. I followed her and then
you
waited for them
numb.
To leave and then talked to all the sales girls about how she wanted me. That's what I did. I was like, she wanted me, huh?
You talked to the sales girls about how much Megan Fox wanted you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, she didn't at all. She didn't. I was like, did she ask
she
about
didn't
me?
Know you were there.
Did she ask about that guy in the corner?
Wow.
Here's the part I love the most is that once you realized it was Megan Fox and you went, or whatever noise you made, and then that moment passed and now you're calming down a tiny bit. I know that you're plotting in your mind. You're thinking, okay, not good first impression, but I'm still in the same room as she is. I still have a shot.
It's better than nothing.
Better than other, right? Yeah. Were you thinking there must be something I can come up with right now that I can go up and say to her that's going to wow her?
No. I did for a moment, for a quick moment, but once I saw that Brian Austin Green was there and that they were really cuddly and holding hands and kind of like huggy kissy,
right?
So I knew that I had no chance of doing anything. But then I started to think of, is there anything good I could do, like for the show?
Okay.
But
yeah.
And
why didn't you take a picture with her?
Because you guys know, I broke my BlackBerry, and so the only phone I have it's like the super prepaid rent-a-phone. It's like a phone you use.
It doesn't even have a camera?
It has nothing. It's a phone like terrorists use to detonate bombs. That's like, it's like the most bootleg phone. But so I didn't have a camera. I didn't have any type of like recording device.
Oh, you failed.
But after trying to win her over and failing, Kevin's right, or you, whoever said, maybe the next move is, hey, Megan, I'm Psycho Mike from the Kevin and Bean Show. We're big fans. We'd love to have you on sometime.
Yeah.
Maybe that happens.
But wait a minute. We want him to say that after he followed her around making strange noises and acting. He said it was a small store, so I could follow her around without anyone noticing.
Yeah, maybe it's best if she doesn't know that he was affiliated with us at all. Right.
Right. That's best case scenario. He did the right thing by shutting up, is what I'm saying.
So. What I'm saying is I'm here to admit I failed in every way.
Yeah, you did. How come you didn't text me? How come you didn't call the Afro?
I don't have any of my numbers on this phone, this bootleg ass phone. I tried to remember phone numbers because I don't have an address book on this phone,
right.
And I ended up texting people that were like, I don't know at all, like wrong numbers. And I got like three
texts. What was it, like, I'm here with Megan Fox?
Yeah, you'll never believe what's happening. I'm watching Megan Fox take her pants off. And then 2 hours later, I got all these texts like, who is this?
That's awesome.
Well, you fail on every level.
I apologize. Yeah.
Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Do we have the new big intro for the Showbiz Beat?
It's now time for the Kevin Smith Showbiz Beat.
With Ralph Garman.
Finally, we got it right.
My plan has come to fruition.
Well, Kevin, you are
but an ant in the afterbirth, sir.
Why don't you just tell us what's going on in the world of showbiz?
I did. I'm at best a second banana. I'm here to comment on
this. I see how it is.
You're a pro. You're a true pro. But I will say this. You know who is coming in with me this morning? My good friend Megan Fox, until she heard that last bit, was just like,
"How dare you!"
No, I'm kidding. I don't know her at all, but I live next door to where her dude used to live when I first moved into Affleck's house. Right. Our neighbor was Brian Austin Green.
How about that?
That's a closer tie-in than any of us have.
Pretty much.
Kevin Smith, when he stole the 90210 money.
I think it was the tail end of it. We came out 2002. So that is, in our world, as good as being like, I slept with her.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. But let me ask you this. Had you been in Mike's shoes and run into her in a store like he did, would you have fared any better or would you have collapsed?
Yeah, look, dude, everyone's pretty to me, so I don't go to pieces over a pretty chick. But, I would have managed a little more than,
yeah, you think.
That just sounds like you reach the moment.
Even if you're feeling that, don't you have to kind of act like you've been someplace before and try to suck it up and
honestly, I bet you. I grew up fat, so of course I treat pretty women like they don't exist.
Right, exactly.
So I would imagine my move would, I would immediately start talking to Brian Austin Green. And be like, hey, man.
See, that would be genius.
Totally.
And she would say, oh, and I knew, like, honey, sweet, please, we're talking.
No, I'd be like, who's your little sister? She's so cute.
I did bad in every way, but I think I would have fared better if I like saw her across the store and could have like planned my approach. I turned the corner and it was like face to face with her, and that took me, took me by surprise.
I would imagine that would catch anyone off guard, even if you're not a huge fans, just like, oh my god, somebody famous, where I shop, what's up, what do I do, what's the protocol?
Then you rally, you take a breath, you rally, and you act like you've been someplace before.
Yeah, that's absolutely. The story shocked me, because I'm like, you see famous people all the time. Yeah.
But not Megan Fox, though. That's the difference.
Has she never been through here?
No. There's no difference.
What's that all about?
There's a ton of hot chicks that we've seen who are just as famous, if not more famous than her.
True. I think you might be assigning a little too. I don't want to diminish her star in any way, but, she's a chick like any other.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And, in fact, this is why you should appreciate her, because she goes for, like, the underdog. She's not. Think of who she could be with at this moment in time. Who did she choose? Bad.
Yeah.
She's with Bad.
She could be with Bato right now if she wanted to be.
Totally. She's with Brian Austin Green. Yeah, like, who says, you know that what? Dude must be hung like
we're
a mule.
We're still in the first quarter of that game. Let's see what happens by halftime.
Doesn't
right?
it feel like insane. They've been going out for like 6 years or something? How long have they been together?
Yeah, but she has been famous for like 12 minutes. So, he met her when she was nobody.
I think in this business, your fame is only as good as your last flick or whatever. I think, and she seems to be a very studied creature of this business. You would imagine she knows that, like, this won't last forever. I'm going to take advantage of this as best I can. And still she chooses Bag.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a good point.
There's something.
I'm just saying.
Casting people look into Bag. Like there's it. Something bag. There. There's it something draws. There.
I would just say, don't look.
He loves Bag.
Well, speaking of Megan Fox, she did an interview recently where she was talking about Jennifer's body, and she said how she decided to star in that film. It was all based on a meeting she had with the movie's writer Diablo Cody, Oscar winner, and she said she noticed Diablo was wearing a pair of 6-inch clear high heels, those Lucite stripper shoes.
Sure.
Megan said it was quite refreshing to see a girl rocking stripper shoes in a town that's so brand conscious. So that's what made her decide to take the lead role in that film.
She's going to live forever. That's how you make decisions, man.
Maybe.
From the gut like that. I appreciate it. I want to get Megan Fox out on the ice. She's a heart player. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't care about, you know, agents and climbing the ladder or building your career or five-year plan. She's like, are you wearing hooker pumps? I'm in your flick.
Maybe in retrospect, she should use a different set of criteria for judging her films.
I would have bet the house on that movie. I would have bet everything I had on that movie.
You guys, I was stunned as well.
The pedigree of Diablo Cody screenplay. Yep. You got Megan Fox, the woman of the moment, kissing the other chick from last year's moment.
Sure.
Mamma Mia picture, who's not Meryl Streep.
Did you go? Did you go to that movie?
I saw it. I was abroad. I did not see it.
Right.
Meaning I was
You're
a girl.
I
was a total girl about seeing it. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah. interesting story broke this morning about Oprah Winfrey. Oprah famously invited Sarah Palin, former governor of Alaska, to sit down with her and talk to her on her show. However, Palin declined because she said Oprah was so vocally outspoken in being her supporter of the rival ticket.
Does my butt look big?
Months ago, Winfrey said, well, once Sarah Palin's book deal was announced, maybe she'll talk to me now that she has a book deal.
I'm so fat.
Well, surprise, surprise, Sarah Palin will be showing up on Oprah's couch on November the 16th, according to People magazine, to indeed promote her new autobiography, Going Rogue, An American Life.
Yeah, did anybody see Sarah Palin coming?
Oh! Whoa.
I read it that.
In what culture is she considered a rogue?
The one where she says a lot?
What?
The one where she says it all the time?
Yeah. I guess so. Dude, if you she say it about she yourself enough, you. As she says rogue?
Yeah.
That's like me going, yeah, I'm straight, wink. I mean, it sends a weird message.
She's a maverick.
Does anybody care anymore? I thought that was over.
There is a section of society that definitely cares.
Hey, there are a lot of people, Kevin. Yeah, really? There are a lot of people who are putting their hopes in her.
I thought she was a very attractive woman. I'm not sure about her policies, but I thought she was very, for the first female president, I thought she was pretty. You know what I'm saying?
If that's how you vote, totally.
I mean, one, that's how Megan Fox picks her movie roles, based on the pumps. Right. I saw Sarah Palin wearing hooker pumps. She got my vote.
She's hot in the small subset of politicians, though.
Right. Yeah, compared to Hillary Clinton.
It's like who I do on Capitol Hill.
Right. It's like people say, Danica Patrick, wow, she's hot. It's like, no, she's hot for a race car driver. She's hot, but she's not hot.
I don't know. She's hot, period.
When is she going anyway?
There's no walk of life that I could ever get a Sarah Palin, so who am I kidding?
Yeah.
But your wife is much prettier than Sarah Palin. She's stunning.
Yeah, but she's not, you know, she wasn't the governor of Alaska.
That's true.
Always something with that wife of mine.
Neither Sarah Palin anymore, by the way.
She's pretty, but goddamn it.
So disappointing.
This will happen on November the 16th. I believe it's a Monday. You can check out the interview. I just think it's funny how politics takes a backseat to cash when it comes time to promote
stuff.
You
know, everything that's the place to go.
Seats of cash,
yeah.
I've gained weight.
Kevin, have you ever been on the Oprah show?
I've never. No, I'm not nearly famous enough to do this.
I'd love to watch that conversation between you
Me
and
too.
Oh, I mean, but she would be so delighted because I'm the excellent interview. All I do is talk.
That's true. You don't even have to say anything.
That's all she does, though, too.
Yeah, it's true. She might be like, hey, buddy.
Clash of the Titans right there.
If I got on that show, dude, I'd try to be like, who is her protege, her little Padawan, if you will? Dr. Phil,
yeah.
That's what I would do. I'd run for that Dr. Phil type position.
And now Dr. Oz, her other little project, has got her own show.
I got to get friendly with her and tell her I'm smart about something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She seems to believe it. She believes other dudes. Why not me?
I'm thinking out.
I think Tyler Perry has your slot in her social calendar.
I'm a doctor. I have a doc. They gave me an honorary doctorate at two different places.
Really?
So I could be Dr. Smith.
I'm guessing
Kemp,
both
Dr.
of those
Smith.
Places are in New Jersey.
No, well, one is. But why does that matter?
I'm just saying, you're part of the Holy Trinity there. It's Bon Jovi, Springsteen, and you.
Yeah.
They probably give you all kinds
of
awards.
You'd imagine they'd give me more, but they've only given me one so far. So apparently I'm not a part of that Holy Trilogy.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kim Kardashian, reality star. And I have
nothing for her. I don't know anything about her except she has a zillion people following on Twitter.
She's hot.
She's way hot.
Is that all it is?
Yeah. She had the sex tape. That's kind of what broke her.
Now, did you see anything?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw everything.
It was hardcore.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll see if we can pull it up for her.
So what? She's pretty. You can watch porn, but apparently
she
combined the two.
Yeah, it's a little more
fascinating. Is she one of those people that's famous just for having sex? Good. I'd love to get famous.
I don't think
for that.
So. I think she got famous by doing that, but then she's in the
built on.
But
it.
She hasn't done anything else since then.
But
they gave
her
the reality show. They gave her the reality show because she was famous from the sex tape, though. It's not because she was an actress or a singer or anything like that.
Okay, didn't give so Ray wait J a second. One.
Why is this chick more legit than the hooker chick who was in here?
She isn't.
You know what I'm saying? Like the hooker chick, same thing. She's like, I use sex as a stepping stone. She sit here talking about deals and whatnot and other TV shows. Kardashian, she used sex a bit as a stepping stone. Now apparently you're saying she's gone legit, but she didn't get paid for that sex.
Because that hooker chick is from the Midwest, and Kim Kardashian was born and raised on the West Side here and was best friends with Paris Hilton when she was having sex.
She carried, she traveled that's in that circle of all difference. The celebutantes who were kind of making the Hollywood club scene back in the day.
So. Okay, so the key then, it's not just have sex, is be friends with Paris Hilton and have sex.
And sort of a
hot.
Status money.
Status
money, you know, location, it all plays a part.
But I can't ever do the third one.
The tape wasn't, she didn't let that tape out.
It slipped out?
Supposedly it slipped out.
Well, I saw that part of the tape,
I don't know.
I don't think Lisa buys it at all.
Can we put that in the file, by the way? That bean,
is that the way, is that, I mean, it's so simple now, it seems like, to get.
It is.
Well, it is,
but yeah, it is, but you have to be.
If you're a girl.
Yeah. You have to be hot, though.
Do you?
I think so. I mean, she's way hot.
There is a minimum hotness level you must reach.
Yeah.
And Brandy's brother killed it. He killed her.
Ray J.
Destroyed her guts on that video.
Who's Brandy?
Brandy the singer?
Remember Moesha?
Brandy was the singer.
Moesha? Her brother, Ray J, was her partner in the celebrity sex tape.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the time, he was the draw.
So another person I don't know was having sex with somebody else.
He was the celebrity draw. Ray J was the celebrity draw.
What is
that
he famous
initially.
For?
He's an R&B singer.
Okay.
As well.
And he was just tearing it up?
Yeah.
He put in some good work,
And then did he get a reality show?
Yeah, for the love of Ray J.
For the love of Ray J.
For the love of Ray J.
Where he tried to find true love.
It was 50-50. He put in work, and the other 50%, he stood in front of the camera so she couldn't be seen, and he was talking to the camera. Like, I was like, get out of the way!
Ray J likes him some Ray J.
He really loves Ray J. Yeah.
Kevin Smith, you're going to have to stop writing so many movies so you can keep up with pop culture anymore.
Yeah, who knew? But I don't. Is this really pop culture? Is that considered pop culture?
Is this a definition of pop culture? Yes.
There is a subset. I don't know. Like, to me, I put this in a whole different subset or subcategory where I don't even consider this pop culture. To me, I'm like, pop culture is like movies, TV, stuff like that, entertainment that becomes part of your life. But I guess this is entertainment.
The culture of celebrity, I think, is
a part of my life.
Is she really?
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's like when I hear names like John and Kate, I'm like, who? They're like, you know John and Kate. I'm like, I have no idea who John and Kate are.
Well, lucky you.
I think the weight of celebrity has risen to the point where it almost carries equal weight with actual creative projects.
I feel bad. Yeah, I might have kicked open the door to it, dude. Make Clark's, and everyone's like, you're a quasi-celebrity. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm like, get out there and say something.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, normal people are just as stupid as celebrities. And
it's
they start
your
bringing
fault.
More normal people in. Yeah. I take the blame.
You should. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Kardashian. That's how this whole
thing
started.
Who else is having a birthday?
She's 29. Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains. He's 33 years old.
He was the little boy.
He was the little one. Yeah, little
Ben.
Toehead,
Ben Seaver.
With a little bowl haircut. Remember him?
Did he? Was he one of the? He didn't become Christian. He's one of the only ones in that family that didn't go Christian.
Right. I think he worships at the altar of cocaine. I think for a long time.
What? Really? I was going to say
he had some drug issues.
Whatnot?
I believe. Yeah. But he's bounced back since.
Has he?
I
remember seeing a picture of him. He was like older, and I felt scared. He seemed like a. Able-bodied man.
I've attended a few of those masses myself. By the way, I'm just not a member of the
of that church
of that church any longer. And Carrie Fisher.
Uh-oh.
Carrie Fisher's got to be at least 32 right now.
At least 32. She is 53 years old.
It doesn't matter how old Carrie Fisher gets. There are people in this generation who would, in a heartbeat, jump into bed with her.
Just to feel the force, yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Kevin Smith co-hosting this week. By the way, if you're lucky enough to be in Southern California, might you go to Ticketmaster.com and get tickets to see Mr. Smith on stage at the Orpheum. That's going to be this Saturday night, October 24th. And this is just a, it's not stand-up so much as it's you telling stories and taking questions from the audience. Right, Kevin?
It is very much so. If you go to YouTube and hit like Kevin Smith talking, you'll see
better
a zillion clips.
Get the DVDs, An Evening with Kevin Smith. And,
you don't even have to buy it. I'm asking him to buy a ticket for the show.
Evening Harder. I'm telling him to buy the DVDs. Well. They're very entertaining.
I'm saying you can watch the DVDs for free on YouTube.
Is there any way you can put more food
Piracy
in your mouth?
Wins. I'm sorry. I'm eating
Is that possible?
Dude, we're hungry.
I'm sorry. We're eating breakfast.
All right.
Now, Hollywood Beat takes a lot out of you. You got to walk. A lot of walking.
It's a long walk. And by the way, just a personal note to Mr. Joe Rogan, scheduled to be a guest on the Kevin Abeen Show about 15 minutes ago. Joe, put down the bong and come on in, pal. We're looking forward to hanging with you this morning.
He doesn't even need to put the bong down. Just bring it. Bring the bong.
Bring two.
All right, time for the Afro line. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Ralph came up with something called the murder button, right?
Murder.
Mm-hmm. In response to Twitter. I guess if somebody's Twitter is not interesting enough, you have...
If you're going to abuse Twitter, then you run the risk of being murdered. That's what I'm saying.
You want just some kind of a button on your phone.
There needs to be some comeuppance, I think, if you abuse the privilege.
All right. And that's
Are you a big Twitterer?
I'm not.
Okay.
He's not at all.
Yeah, it seems rather unfair that you get to kill people you're not even...
Well, I don't Twitter because I know that I have nothing really of any value to offer
right. Via
that conveyance. And so I opt not to blog or do anything
right,
like that, but I'm not punishing anyone with my mundane daily thoughts.
This is
those
but
you
why,
do run the risk,
that's
I'm
true,
saying.
But here's what you need to remember. At least Twitter is a microblog.
That's true.
Boils it all down to 140 characters. All these people used to be able to go on as long as they wanted.
I know.
Now
they're doing both.
Keeping it shape.
No, they're not. They're doing
really?
Both. They're blogging and they're tweeting.
I gave up blogging. Once with the microblogs started happening, I was like, I can get this done 140
there
characters.
Needs to be
it's
some
like
repercussions.
My sex. Quick. Fast.
Okay, so that's where the murder button came from, and that's what this caller is referencing.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? My name's Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
And I just wanted to say, have you guys seen the trailer for the new Cameron Diaz movie, The Box? It's Murder Button the movie. It's money.
It's the money.
That's based on that old story. Remember that old story? About
it was like an Outer Limits episode or something, wasn't it?
It's a Richard Kelly
film. I don't know that one.
Yeah.
Richard Kelly, man. The guy did Donnie Darko and Southland Tales and whatnot. I saw it. It's very good.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Great premise.
I dug it. Yeah, it's a fantastic premise.
Yeah.
We're talking to the...
Now,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just one follow-up on that. For folks who don't know, you press a button and someone somewhere in the world you don't know dies, but you get a huge amount of cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you got to do it the other way. You got to bury the lead. Dude.
Yeah,
you
really.
You first say that you get the million so that people get pregnant with the idea, and then you tell them, but somebody's going to die.
Right. What percentage of people do you think
like,
would...
Don't tell me my job, Batman.
No. That's fair. That's fair. But what percentage of people do you guys think would take that deal with little or no hesitation for the $1 million to kill someone they don't know?
In the United States of America?
Yeah.
75%.
No.
Well, we know I think you're right.
Easily. We know Lisa easily. Would do it just not to get her head shaved.
Yeah.
She would have someone murdered.
I think that's very different. I wouldn't do it for $1 million.
But then you're missing the whole point of the premise is then they take the box away...
Yes.
And they bring it to someone else.
So well, that's the spooky thing. Yeah, at the end of the short story, the great hook to it was always they press the button, guy gives him $1 million, and when he brought them the box, he said, you will press the button, you'll receive $1 million, and somebody you don't know will die.
Right.
So when they finally do it, the guy picks up the box, give them their million. They're like, where's the box going now? And he's like, don't worry, it's going to someone you don't know.
Yeah.
So
nice.
You're like, dun, dun, dun,
dun. Wait,
give me the box. I got one on present.
But it's too late.
Too late, man.
I rented the box over the weekend. It was not anything
no,
like that.
No, different. That's a different movie. Like yeah.
All right. The King of Mexico was in our studios telling us how he does not use windshield wipers. You don't need them.
Right.
Just a distraction.
The King of Mexico. It's raining in Fresno, and I took his advice. And I'm not using my wipers, and I can't see you, Dave. No one likes you. You're lazy. You're terrible. I hope you choke on something.
That's a random wish. I hope you choke on something.
If that guy had the murder button, he wouldn't have to make that horrible wish. He could
you
just press
imagine,
the button.
He made that call how long after the bit about the windshield wipers? Not like it was happening and he
probably a week.
He was holding on to it.
Yeah.
And he like literally, he was like a week later, he's like, it's raining. There was that random dude on the radio suggested I not use my wipers. I'm going to do it.
It's a good choice. People are auditioning for the band because now that it's back together.
No fun.
Yeah, sure.
Fun.
Oh, I like
there you
that
go.
Guy.
Yeah.
We need a lead guitarist.
By the way, King of Mexico informed me yesterday that some fan has set up a Facebook fan page for Melfon, and apparently there's a lot of people have joined up that say that they're fans of Melfon, so we've started something.
This guy, not a fan of everyone.
When it comes to Melfon, I think you guys should just go ahead and drop the DJ and drop the cowbells. I don't support terrorists, and I don't support albinos with big white heads.
Wow, Kevin, your place in the band being threatened.
How about that? Yeah.
Wow.
It's hard to argue his point, though.
But your cowbell, we need the cowbell.
Well, I think so, too, but the albino part.
Yeah, that's dead on.
You do have a massive albino.
He's very bright in the distance. He's like that green light in Gatsby. You just see him all the time. You can't reach him.
Happy Halloween.
all look like a wee.
See, Megan Fox does call it.
Don't do drugs.
You know who the don't smoke and dial.
You know who the announcer is for the Florida Panthers, is it? Hockey team?
Yeah.
Heard him. I don't know his
name. Is it Randy Moeller? Is that his name?
Wacky guy that always uses movie lines after he says he shoots his scores. Well, we have people parodying it.
He shoots, he scores. Don't forget to say hello to Susan Biondi.
First of all, it's Jane Biondi.
Not according to Lisa.
No, Lisa said Susan.
Oh, I see.
That guy's mocking. And then this one is for Kevin.
Kevin Smith shoots. He scores. My girlfriend's 37 in a row.
Yeah. All right. I want to be in attendance at that hockey game.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Oh.
I was wondering if I could ask you for a little favor.
Yes.
I really want.
Now, what do you think she? Where do you think she's going? She's putting on the sexy voice.
Your retirement?
Someplace not sexy. I guarantee
to
that.
Leave radio.
Mr. Smith to be on the radio tomorrow a little bit longer. I need to hear his sexy voice early in the morning so I can go to work very happy.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Wow. I got in the wrong line of work. Radio is where all the women are.
Yeah, they chicks sound like home. That, and then you meet them, and it's not.
I don't care, dude. Turn the lights off. It's all good. And also, what are they meeting? Like, they're meeting a god on their side? I walk in, they're like, ugh, can we turn the lights off? I'm like, it's mutual. Let's have very angry, hateful sex.
And here's the opposite side of the Kevin Smith.
Who's zooming who? Who is zooming who?
Yeah. It's catching on. You're bringing it back,
I'm telling
Kevin.
You, man. I captured a lot of people's imagination.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of people think that President Barack Obama earned the Nobel Peace Prize this week when he finally said, hey, we're not going after, the feds aren't going after the medical marijuana dispensaries anymore. So we're going to get an update on what that means to you, the consumer, with a reporter from the Los Angeles Times in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, Ralph would not shut up during the Radiohead record about his continued rant against the internet. What's up with you?
Murder.
I like the internet. Why do you hate the internet?
I don't like the people who abuse the internet.
This guy's talking about it like he
just
found
the internet. But
the internet's
for everybody. It's for everybody,
now,
Ralph, to do
problem.
What they choose with.
Most people should just shut the F up. That's the truth of the world. Most people have nothing interesting to say, and they have no real value. And the thing is, there used to be a time when you were a person who thought you did have something to say. You used to have to work to get that message out. You had to raise money to make your own movie, or you had to put up a play somewhere and get people to see it, or you had to write a book and try to get it out there, and there were some hurdles you had to leap. In order to get your message out, and you had to really care passionately about that in order to achieve that goal, and that filtered out the lazy, idiot douchebags who were just sitting on their couch watching television. They really didn't have access to our minds, which was a good thing, because we didn't need to be polluted by what they had to say. But now, with the tweets and the blogs, it just everyone's just vomiting out. Anything that comes to their heads is just being inundated. Every time you turn on your screen on your computer, you're just getting just beaten to death with some inanity from somebody who really has nothing to offer us.
Okay, can I counteract that? May I take the opposing viewpoint, the counterpoint, if you will? If not for the internet and then later Twitter, we never would have gotten to see a video of Solel Moonfry redressed as Punky Brewster.
That's true.
That's a good point.
At age 25. That was amazing. I sat there going, like, right on, man. Like, if not for the internet, I never would have seen
but
that.
But in Ralph's defense, we wouldn't have we wouldn't have a Perez Hilton today if it hadn't been for the internet either, though.
But Ralph, you out of everybody in this room ought to know that if you don't like someone like Perez Hilton or any of these many people on the internet, you just don't go to their page.
I
don't
know,
read.
But it's harder and harder to avoid the onslaught, the avalanche.
No, it's not. There is more pornography on the internet than anything else, and I still go to it. I don't. It's not where I can't, you know, where I'm like, oh my, it's happening so often that even if my child's in the room, I have to look at pornography.
Well,
you have to go to it. It's all destination.
You've never had those boxes explode on your screen like I do. I can't get that off.
I've had some explosions all over the screen, my friend, but I don't know. It's one of those things to me where I like the democratization of everyone having their say, even if it is dopey, is like, I bought coffee. Coffee good. I like what's going on in people's mind for no other reason. Makes me feel smarter. I sit there going, I'm way deeper than these idiots.
I think, you know, there are people like yourself who tweet a lot who actually have something humorous or interesting or funny to say. And that,
but not
that's
always.
Great, but the,
one out of 100, by the way. Let's not give them too much credit.
That's
totally.
The vast majority of what's out there is the guy. See, here's the thing. I spent a lot of my youth in bars. There was always a guy at the end of the bar who was pontificating on something in a slurry, drunken speech around noon when I used to hang in the bars. And he always had something to say. It was just vaguely sort of informed, and it was obnoxious, and it was way forced upon people who didn't really want to hear him. That's what you get on most tweets and most blogs are all about.
Yeah, but some of us make a career being that guy.
So back off, Ralph.
The problem also, if I could speak on behalf of my man Ralph, is that Bean we work with, and he needs less access.
Yeah, he's the guy. Well, Bean's the guy I'm talking about.
He needs much less.
He's the guy who says, oh, I just saw the largest ball of yarn today. I mean, that's the kind of thing he tells people about.
He sends pictures of his dogs all day.
I know, but I follow him on Twitter.
Look at my dog.
And every day, it's a dog update.
That's
I appreciate
what I'm saying.
It.
We don't need it.
I know, but I enjoy it because I'm like, wow, somewhere in the world, and no matter what's going on in my day, I may be carrying a larger load than usual, but I'm like, wow, for somewhere, it's this dude and his little bulldogs, and everything's peaceful and calm. He's my zen. He's my karmic moment.
Oh, man. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate
it. You got to look at those people as like, right on, man. This is life.
They're out there. Can't they be quiet about it, though?
No,
isn't Zen all about silence, really? Isn't it about stillness and silence? Isn't that quality of Zen
absolutely.
That we most seek and try to attain?
But that's a personal stillness, which, Ralph, obviously you don't have.
Trust me. I am angry all the time.
I would also like to invite Mr. Smith for another week, and then at the end of that week, let's see what he thinks about beating his Twitter.
Sit in on beating. Why are Oreos so good? After you've spent about 10 years listening to that, you too will feel my anger, sir.
I'm all for that. I can take that conversation, run with it. Just throw in a few of those fart jokes.
It's good because it's like a
fart. You don't
know
what kind of damage you're doing right now.
I just want to give them license to talk. I tell you, I gave up, and a lot of people in this room gave up having, and we're not complaining about it by any stretch of the imagination, but gave up the normal life that most people have to do something that's a little more high profile. And because of that, people think it's special or cool or whatever. It's not. It's just a little more high profile. But because of that, like, I don't have access to the cool normalcy that most people had that I used to have pre-Clerks. Like, you could try and shape normalcy, but at the end of the day, everything's I got a tour bus drives past my house and stops and starts talking about me.
Really?
So it's tough to, shape. You could shape normalcy as much as you want, but sometimes reality intrudes. When I read stuff on Twitter, when I read about, like, what real people are doing, and these are the people who, like, buy tickets to go see my movies.
You want to put a gun to your head?
I sit there and go, thank God I have my job. No, it's just interesting to me. I read it and I go, oh, like, this is definitely what I would have been doing if the movie hadn't
been. But don't you think that feeds into the sense that a lot of Americans have now, that sense of self-importance and that sense of celebrity at any cost, where the more people I can get to follow me on my Twitter, whatever, makes me more valued and valid as a human being because people are following what I have to say regardless of whether I
but
really have worked
you,
very hard
if
to
you
say
treat
it or not.
That's if you treat it like a race or if you are treating it as some sort of scale. And I think there are definitely people, particularly in this town, who treat it as such and go like, how many followers do you have? For the record, I have almost 1.5 million.
Not that that's important.
That being all said, to me, I don't think about it like that. And I don't think most people do. I think most people are just happy to be able to have some place to express themselves, even if that expression sometimes is banal to some. But to them, it's just like reaching out to a world that otherwise, there are a lot of people, dude, who I read on Twitter who just don't talk to people in their normal life. They're not the dude at the end of the bar. They can't even go to the bar because they're so socially retarded.
Isn't that tragic?
No, it's great. They finally have like a venue to start. Baby steps,
but maybe
dude.
If they didn't
rather
have that,
than the dude
it would
up
encourage
on
them to talk to a human being.
But maybe this encourages them to talk to a human being
no,
in the real world.
It doesn't,
man.
No,
I've had a website for, 15 years now? I can't tell you how many people have met, gotten married, and had kids off of the website.
Yeah, but
and it all started as digital people, social interaction. Yeah. Whatever. You gotta allow for it. Sometimes that's how people are gonna meet people.
I think
murder.
See, I pressed the murder button. I think it encourages isolation. I think it creates more of a cocoon where people can do even less interacting with other human beings because they have those outlets via the internet.
I think that there's probably definitely a percentage of those people out there, but I think most people who would fall into that cocoon, we're going to fall in there anyway. And if it wasn't on the internet,
we wouldn't know about it.
They'd
be quiet and they'd be hidden, and we wouldn't have to acknowledge them as human beings.
True, but wouldn't you rather know that they exist too?
No.
I got a kid, and I want to know they exist so I can be like, read about this dude. Don't ever date him.
Don't come here.
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the new medical marijuana laws.
I have glaucoma. I'm very excited to hear about this.
I'm sure you are.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Gerard Butler is going to be on the program next hour, believe it or not. He's in that that new movie with Jamie Foxx.
It doesn't matter what movie he's in now. He'll forever be, this is Sparta.
It's true.
That dude's coming in.
He's the 300 guy. Exactly. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to see Mr. Kevin Smith, our guest co-host this week, live and in person on stage in Los Angeles this Saturday night. First, though, we made reference to it a few minutes ago, but apparently the laws are changing on medical marijuana in the state of California and all over the country. I think there's something like 25 states or something like that who have medical marijuana laws, and everyone is watching with great interest to see how the president is going to handle this, and we thought, let's get an update, because this is a subject that is near and dear to the Kevin and Bean listeners' hearts, and I believe we have, is it John Hofel on the line from the Los Angeles Times? John, you there?
Yeah, that's correct. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. So bring folks up to speed who maybe don't follow the news. The president did move on this week, right?
He did, yeah. The Justice Department issued a guidelines on Monday that basically told federal prosecutors not to pursue cases against medical marijuana users or dispensaries that are following California's law and other states that have similar laws. So
And the rub previously has been that many states' position on medical marijuana has been at odds with the federal, so therefore the federal authorities had the right to come in and arrest, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. It's actually still true. I mean, the federal law hasn't changed. It's still illegal under federal law to use marijuana to grow it, sell it. So there's still that conflict, but he's basically just said to prosecutors, don't bother people who are using it following state law.
Okay, I see. But they're still not following national law because that hasn't changed.
That's correct.
He's just saying don't go after them.
That's right.
All right. I thought it was ridiculous that he got the Nobel Peace Prize, but now I'm in. I mean, for this, he's earned it.
That's the smartest thing in the world to say. First president that embraces it and starts taxing it,
right.
And we come out of debt, that's the president. They're going to add a new president to Mount Rushmore.
Out of debt like by the end of the year.
Oh, it makes so much sense. It's a weed, people. It grows everywhere. If you believe in God, the Lord meant you to have it because it grows everywhere, just like grass and rocks. They don't grow,
Kevin, couldn't you make the same argument for cocaine, though, because that comes out of a plant?
But that doesn't grow everywhere.
But it comes out of a plant, though.
It doesn't grow everywhere.
It has to be refined.
Poison comes out of a plant, too. Some poisons, natural poisons. I'm not saying eat those, but weed is available. We know it doesn't kill us. It grows everywhere. I don't know. Even if you believe in some sort of omniscient and universal force, that just points us in the right direction, doesn't it? Makes it apparent.
John, what kind of a difference will this make to people who frequent the... I don't know. There must be hundreds of medical marijuana facilities in Southern California right now. Are they going to be able to walk in there with their head held high and not park around back anymore?
Yeah, well, there are hundreds of medical marijuana dispensaries in Southern California. I think what it means primarily is that the people who are using marijuana and who have doctors' recommendations are safe. The people who run the dispensaries, that's a totally different issue because in Southern California, state prosecutors here, are starting to argue that dispensaries selling it over the counter violates state law.
Okay.
So confusing.
You're saying that President Obama is telling the federal government stop going after it, but there's still somebody in this state who is still prosecuting based on what?
Absolutely. Well, the San Diego prosecutor has raided, I think, 14 dispensaries a couple weeks ago. Have filed only two charges, I think. So far, but they're looking over the documents from those dispensaries, and they believe they're illegal. They have about 60, they think. And their contention is you can't sell it under state law. You can't sell it for a profit.
So basically, if the dispensary was in the business of giving it away, they wouldn't bother them at all?
That's correct.
This makes absolutely no sense.
They're just going after it. The County DA and the LA City DA have joined forces as well.
That's right.
To shut them down in LA.
Well,
they have not actually taken any steps to do that yet, but they have threatened to shut down. Well, Steve Cooley, the DA, said he thinks all dispensaries in the city and county are operating illegally.
Now, John, I apologize if I put you on the spot here because I may be asking for an opinion, and I know that you're a reporter and you may not want to give that. But, I mean, is there some sort of ulterior motive that has nothing to do with the law here? Are some of these people who are rising up against medical marijuana, are they coming from some sort of a moral stance, do you think? Or what do you suppose their motivation is?
Well, I do think that a lot of the law enforcement officials, the narcotics officers and the prosecutors are disturbed by what they see as people – just opening up these stores overnight,
getting a room, filling it with different strains of marijuana, and suddenly arguing that they're medical marijuana, you know, providers, and that they know how to use it to help people. And they think they're just in it for making money.
But let me ask this question, because it sounds like Obama's saying just live by the state law. It seems like the state law would be pretty clear, and you're either or you aren't. How do they argue that no one is?
Yeah, the state law is actually not
that clear. It's not that clear.
You know, the original initiative in 1996 was pretty broad. First of all, it said it could, you know, it listed some illnesses that it could be used for, like cancer and
right.
arthritis. But it also said any other illness for which marijuana provides relief.
That's right.
Pretty broad. So you have doctors prescribing it for insomnia, for, you know, for nausea.
Writer's block as well.
Hey, Kevin Smith wouldn't have written his last 8 movies if it hadn't been for weed.
I need it legalized quick.
So, in other words, it wasn't my reaction when I heard this report earlier in the week is, well, that's settled. It sounds like there's still a long way to go, and there's going to be a lot of court before this is finally settled in the state of California and the other states that have medical marijuana across the country. It sounds like this is a continuing developing story, right, John?
I completely agree with you. I mean, the situation in San Francisco, totally different from the situation down here. Up there, they have, you know, set number of dispensaries. They really don't bother them at all. And down here, we're trying to close them.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll definitely continue to follow the story through the LA Times, the LA Times blogs. Our guest has been John Hoeffel from the paper. Thanks a lot for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoy talking to you.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Hey, Ralph Garman. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it's now time for the Kevin Smith Showbiz Beat.
With Ralph Garman.
Actually, Kevin Smith's not here.
Hey, somebody said Weed Boy.
What happened?
Even when he shows up, he's not here. You can't rely on these Hollywood types.
Artsy-fartsy type?
Damn Hollywood liberals with their agenda.
That's right.
Turn
That's
all
right.
the kids into hippies and pot smokers. Their That's lava what they're doing. Lamps and their love beads.
Their fire and their wheel.
Oh, hate them. Let's talk about Britney Spears, shall we?
Please.
Okay.
Britney has one less headache in her life. According to TMZ.com, she has settled the lawsuit that was brought against her by Rick Mendoza, who is a paparazzo, who accused her of intentionally driving over his foot in her Mercedes back in 2007 while he was taking photos of the pop star. Initially, he wanted $200,000 in damages.
Wow.
That's an expensive foot right there.
That seems extreme.
Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, here
Mendoza
he is.
Mendoza just ran over my foot.
Did he?
I was out in the parking lot. He ran over my foot. He thought I was Britney.
They settled out of court yesterday. No word on how much she finally gave him, but apparently it was enough to make the lawsuit go away. So one last headache for young Ms. Spears.
Unless it crushed his leg and he could never walk again, I don't know how he could justify $200,000 for that.
By all accounts, he'd got a nasty treadmark on his Adidas.
Well,
and you know,
Adidas can be expensive.
They can; they're very expensive.
You know? That teaches that paparazzi is a valid occupation, and all the risk that you put yourself and others at can pay off in financial reward.
That's right.
If I read that story, I want my kid at the end of that story to be like, I want to be a paparazzi dad. Be like, you're damn right. In this country, it's the finest occupation there is. Something for nothing.
You can stand in front of people's cars and not let them move. And when totally. They try to, you can sue them and make large amounts of
and
money.
And everyone will be on your side because people are mad at them because they make a lot of money for being stupid.
Right.
So be a paparazzi, kid.
I hate people.
Speaking of cash payouts, In Touch magazine reports that Madonna is very dedicated to keeping her boy toy Jesus Luce happy.
Who's that?
He is the 23-year-old model that Madonna is currently keeping company with.
How old is she?
Your boyfriend.
She's 51, I believe.
On one hand, I support that because for years it's been the reverse.
Right. Goose and the gander, right?
Goose and the gander. Yep. But on the other hand, it's just kind of like, really? You really want to have sex with a 23-year-old guy when you're 50? I don't want to have sex.
Yes, she does.
I guess so.
You don't want to have sex with a 23-year-old girl when you're 15?
I swear to God, no. I want to have sex with the person who knows how to do it with me the best, and that would be my wife.
There's some really good-looking 23-year-olds out there.
But they're never going to know how to do or what to do, and they might expect me to do things. Because they might be like, you get on top. I'm like, I don't do that sort of thing.
Well, you'd kill her, for starters.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe for you, then it wouldn't be the option.
That's weird. And what's this dude do? He's a model?
He's a model, but here's the thing. The story in In Touch magazine says Madonna gives him an allowance of spending cash of $10,000 a month.
How is that any different than that chick who was sitting here yesterday who also has sex for money?
There is no difference, sir.
No difference at all, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're a society of horrors, aren't we?
That transaction has been going on for time immemorial. And
rightfully so, man.
I agree.
Can you imagine?
It's funny. Look, he's a good-looking dude. He's ripped. You know, he's a model. He's great-looking, and she likes to have sex with him.
Good for her. Good for
her. I remember Madonna's last boy toy before her marriage, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty sweet deal for that 23-year-old having sex with Madonna. Now, not a good deal.
Yeah, not so good. $10,000
a month? It's an excellent deal.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? Also, she's number one. She's really in shape and whatnot. She's more in shape than any of us will ever be.
Right.
But number two, you know she just does it dirty and wrong.
Right.
You know she's just she'd be the kind of person be like, let's do it with the lights on.
However, you do have to follow James Rodman. I mean, Dennis Rodman, though.
I'll follow whoever if they let me put the lights on so I can see it.
Wow.
Wow. It's a sad life over at the Smith household.
Get naked, you strange whore! I just imagine she would be very, very good after all this.
And then, after she's being good, you get $10,000.
No doubt.
But she's pretty bony.
I don't care how bony she is. You just know she has... To be where she is in life, to be the person she is, and... She put that book out, and she's been singing about sex forever. You know she just knows things that you don't.
But that book was 20 years ago. Now it would be like rubbing up against a leather couch.
Are current or anything like that? I'll take 20-year-old tricks at this point.
And lastly, we're all a little sadder today. All a little poorer. Because the great Vic Mizzy has passed.
Oh, that is a shame.
Yeah.
King of the jingle.
There he was.
The Kingle.
He was known as Jingle. Chris Jingle, they used to call him. He, he wrote theme songs for many TV shows and movies, most famously, of course, the Addams Family theme.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky, the Addams Family.
Yeah. The Kingle production.
Although, although Vic's version, the original, is good, I don't think it can hold a candle to the Hammer. MC Hammer version.
Can we hear a touch of that?
Remember the MC Hammer version from the feature film?
Good hustle.
They do what they want to do. Get what they want to do.
That's
that
one?
Yes. That was just as good. Keep going. I like your performance.
That's all I know.
Can you do that shuffle step?
I can.
I promise in the next show, Bisbee, we'll bring in a taste of MC Hammer's.
The Addams Family Groove, it was called.
The Addams Family Groove.
Addams Family Groove.
I woke from a terrible dream.
Let's have Smith do it. Have him earn his plugs today. Speaking of which, Saturday at the Orpheum Theater here in Los Angeles, Kevin Smith will be performing an evening with 3 hours of hilarious anecdotes.
Mm.
Involves giant spiders and...
I don't tell that story anymore. Now the big story is working with Bruce Willis.
Oh, sure.
Everyone wants to know that about the recent flick about a couple of dicks. Like, what was it like? And I was like, well, you got an hour? That's how long that story is.
That's good. A good story, too, by the way.
It is.
Ticketsmaster.com. Friday, he'll be at the Gallery 1988.
That's free.
Which is free. Nothing. It's an art gallery here in Los Angeles at Melrose and La Brea.
Right next to Golden Apple Comics.
Where I'll be today because it's New Comic Day. You know.
And now I can talk about Golden Apple and promote them because I no longer have a comic book store in Los Angeles. Golden Apple, best comic book store in Los Angeles. Yes, total whore.
So that'll be Friday night at 7 o'clock. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Kardashian's 29.
Glendale.
How old are the twins? The Kardashian twins, if you will.
Oh, the little ones.
No.
Oh, hers?
She's always carrying around,
I think there's a real. Are
they as old as she is?
Yeah.
Wow. She's so that's why people like her.
That's why it's impressive.
Natural and whatnot.
Yeah. And she's got a great ass.
God, it just doesn't take anything anymore. They're like, she's naturally voluptuous. Make her famous.
Yeah. She's 29. Jeremy Miller, the little kid from Growing Pains, is no longer little. He's 33 years old.
And you somehow decided he was a drug addict.
I might be totally off on that.
You're off on that one.
Wasn't one of them a drug addict?
The chick was always vomiting.
Right, she had her issues.
She had some issues.
But maybe it was Boner.
Who?
Maybe it was the neighbor Boner.
That was Mike Seaver's best friend, right? Yeah.
Boner's to Bone.
His
name?
Yeah. I may owe Jeremy Miller an apology.
His real name was Sylvester, so he had to change it to Boner because he didn't want to go around being Sylvester Stallone.
That's pretty funny.
Wow.
It's true.
That show was actually better than I gave it credit for.
I may owe Jeremy Miller an apology. You'll have to do some research.
Have you guys had
what's his name ran off with an older woman. Maybe that was the story I'm thinking of with Jeremy Miller.
I think, I thought gay, but I guess I'm wrong too.
No.
This poor guy.
We need some research.
Drugs, dead, or gay?
I heard he's in the Taliban.
Gay was, who's the boss, little boy?
That's right. That dude became Danny Pintaro. Yes.
Yeah. All right, well,
he's a hottie. That dude became a little twink.
Join us for our new game, Dead Gay Drugs.
Somebody pick that up.
Carrie Fisher's 53 years old today. She had a drug problem. I know that for sure.
And her husband.
And she's gay.
She's 53 in Wookiee years, though.
That's right.
That's true.
Very young in our time.
I'm Ralph Garman. Along with Kevin Smith, we walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin Bean Show. Actor Gerard Butler is going to be joining us in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin Bean Show to talk about his new film with Jamie Foxx. Kevin Smith is in studio co-hosting with us this week. In fact, we're going to give away some tickets, Kevin, to your event, your stand-up appearance, your question and answer at the Orpheum this Saturday night.
That's the only way we're going to get people there, if we give tickets.
You've been selling out all over the world. You're being modest here. But we're going to do it with your fans. They're going to call up right now at 1-800-520-1067, and they're going to try to stump you with something about you, something about your career, your movies, your books, or whatever.
I would love
They're going to try to stump you because there's, I mean, let's face it, there's no way you remember everything you've done and said, right?
You're out of your mind, sir. I look at my shape. Like the elephant, I have an elephantine memory. We never forget.
So if you've got a question, of course, we're not looking for minutia. We're looking for legitimate trivia. But if you've got a question about maybe one of Kevin's films or something like that, and you think you can stump him, it'll be your way to get in and see the man in person this Saturday night. Call now, 1-800-520-1067.
And if you're the All guy right. who's going to call in to be like, I met him in a glory hole and he screamed my name. Number one, that never happened. Number two, don't call in.
Right. Exactly. Keep that between you two. Yes. Right.
Some things I need for just me.
Kevin, I know you are not a baseball fan. You would not put that maybe in the top tier of sports that you enjoy. But these playoff series have been enormously entertaining. I know a lot of Southern California fans have not been necessarily happy with the outcomes as the Angels sure. are down 3-1 to the Yankees for the American League chance to go to the World Series, and the Dodgers are down 3-1 with the Phillies. But a lot of them have been really, really good games or have featured some spectacular performances. Our friend Manny Ramirez, though, for the Los Angeles Dodgers, he has been on fire lately. He's the guy who barely runs when a ball is hit to him. He barely runs when he hits a hit to get to first base. And now he's leaving games early to head to the showers. He didn't even see the Dodgers collapse in the ninth inning of the game on Monday night because he was already in the shower and in street clothes when the game ended.
Really?
Game four, Dodgers are up 4-3 going into the ninth inning. He hit the showers.
They don't.
Yeah.
That's not normal, right? You stay until the end of the game,
you
right?
would think.
Is he a utility player of some sort?
He is an amazing hitter.
Right.
And that's it.
And a competent outfielder. Yeah.
And they had a ton of money.
And yeah. they had taken him out of the game to bring in Juan Pierre, who's a phenomenal defensive player, just because Manny wasn't going to have a chance to bat again, so just in case they needed that extra, you know, spice. So Manny says, I'm out of the game. I'm hitting the showers. They asked Joe Torre, the manager of the Dodgers, about it, and he says, oh, yeah, he does that all the time. Oftentimes, the team will come off the field at the end of a game, and Manny will already be in street clothes. That's just how he rolls. And we thought, maybe that's not the commitment to excellence that you're looking for when you're in the playoffs. But we thought, we know Manny Ramirez. Let's get him on the horn and find out what the heck this is all about. Hi, Manny. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello?
Hello, Manny.
I'm hearing nothing but static.
Hello, Manny.
I barely hear him in the background.
Hi, everybody.
And barely, are you on a jet plane? What are you doing?
I'm in Niagara Falls.
Okay. Can you step away from the water, Manny?
He's near Niagara Falls.
I want to run away.
Can you have Omar turn down Niagara Falls?
Omar! I'm Manny Ramirez from Los Angeles Dodgers. I love LA.
Right.
Can you turn down Niagara Falls?
There we go.
Okay, now we can at least hear what you say. Why are you in Niagara Falls? Aren't you supposed to be in Philadelphia getting ready for the game tonight?
No, well, when it's time to play baseball, it's time to play baseball. But I love America. I want to see everything.
Right, but you have a playoff game that your season depends on tonight.
Tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern time, I play baseball.
I think it's tonight at 8.
It's tonight. Easter. You're supposed to be there in Philadelphia tonight, Manny.
Damn it.
Look, if you don't play well tonight, you'll have the whole winter off to go sightseeing starting tomorrow. That's why it's important that you bring your A game tonight.
Are you there, pretty lady?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Veronica.
Lisa.
I met a girl named Veronica at Block E. Cheese.
Okay.
Okay.
I love Pac-Man.
Okay, that's great, Benny. But let me ask you about this incident on Monday night. Doesn't it just seem like in the interest of, being part of the team, you at least stay in the dugout with the rest of the guys waiting for the game to end before you decide to call it a night?
I knew we were going to win a game.
But
and
you...
I got a new honey almond body wash that I could not wait to put on my body. And I rub it all over my body in the shower, and it smells so good.
Did you have...
Manny Ramirez, outfielder for Los Angeles Dodgers. I love L.A., and I love my fresh skin.
Right. Did you happen to check the final score of that game on Monday?
No, there's no need to do it.
Okay, maybe you thought the game was in the bag when you left because Jonathan Broxton was coming in. You had a one-run lead, but you know that they ended up blowing it with two outs. Jimmy Rollins got a hit, and the Phillies won, right?
What?
Yes, the Phillies won that game.
Oh, man. That changes my demeanor. I'm upset.
Not much.
I'm upset and angry. Mr. Torrey is probably not very happy.
This is
but
you
remember,
upset?
My milkshake brings all the boy to the yard.
Okay, but I don't know. Yeah, but how is that relevant? What we're saying is you need to be focused on the task at hand, which is advancing past the Phillies to the World Series. That's all you should be thinking about right now, not sightseeing at Niagara Falls.
But Manny Ramirez, I'm an outfielder for Los Angeles Dodgers. I love L.A. I bought an iPod. I listen to Pussycat Dogs. All right.
Okay, never mind.
Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time to stump the other Kevin.
Could he be less in tune?
Yeah. I don't really? Think so.
I thought it said stuff, Kevin. I was like, that is you're getting erotically pretty excited, yeah. charged.
Look, if that's the way you'd like to swing, we can make that happen. Sure.
Here's, here's
that's all stuff, Kevin.
Here's the way the game
would be
is.
So happy to hear that song.
Is played. Kevin Smith is going to be at the Orpheum this Saturday night, October 24th. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com, or you can win them right now if you can stump Kevin Smith, the great writer, director, actor, with a question about his own career. That's what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. Now, we have three pairs of tickets, right?
Yes, and I have to be honest. I don't know that people are going to be able to stump Kevin.
It's impossible.
I don't know. So we might want to have them hold on just in case. We do have three pair.
Okay, but if you are able to, you will get tickets. We don't even have to do a drawing or something like that. So let's just see what people have got. Let's start
or
with...
Or maybe we reverse the game where I stump them. Say something so awkward where they're like, excuse me? And we count the seconds of the awkward pause, and however whoever wins has the
Kevin,
longest.
Ask them a question back based on their topic.
I like it.
Totally.
Yeah, I like
all right, let's start with Matt. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is exactly, I think, the kind of question that we're looking for. You're on with Kevin Smith. Go ahead and stump Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Hey, man, how are you? Stuff me.
I am fantastic.
Stump.
Great
I think
to
it's
talk to you, man.
Stump.
Stump.
Yeah.
Stump me.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my question. In Chasing Amy,
okay.
Joey Lorden Adams wrote a comic book.
Yes.
Her character. What was the name of that comic book?
Idiosyncratic Routine.
Ah, damn it.
How would he not know that?
It was a very 1996 term.
Yeah.
Hearing it now, it just sounds like an emo kid wrote it.
But I'm saying, Matt, you hold on because we don't know yet.
That's
if
a good question,
going to stump him.
That's yeah, right. And that was a good question. Like, I would totally give that dude tickets because that's obscure.
See, that's the all type right, of question decide. I think is legitimate. I think that's
oh,
a fair,
trivial
question.
Don't put it back
in my
hands because then I might have to let people down. That's how you lose fans.
All right, let's try.
Yes, you be the bad guy.
Let's try Heather on line 3. This is kind of a dodgy question, but Kevin might know it. Hi, Heather, you're on with Kevin Smith. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Mr. Smith, even if you know the answer, can you just pretend you don't? Because I really want to go on Saturday.
Okay.
So
interesting. Interesting.
I tell you what, you're allowed to go right now because you're a girl. You won.
Interesting.
You won because you have boobs. Ask your
fantastic.
Question.
Fantastic. I will stuff Kevin Smith. Okay. My question is, how many pages was the original draft of the first Clerks?
I've joked and said that it was 160 pages full of D jokes set in a convenience store. But in fact, the first draft was 126, I believe.
That's not what IMDb said.
It's not what IMDb said.
Oh, well, they are the arbiter of everything I am, so they must
what
be right.
What did they say, Heather?
What did they say?
168.
168 pages, they say.
They might be right.
Wow. All right,
let's
hold on.
Are you? They are.
They are. They're right. You stumped me somehow.
Heather, you stumped Kevin Smith.
Yay!
All right. Let's go to Jessica. Whoops, wrong button. Let's go to Jessica on line 2. She's got an interesting twist on Stump Kevin Smith. Jessica, hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Kevin, okay. My question is, what was the name of the mascot when you appeared on Degrassi?
What was the name of the mascot?
Ooh. Mascot.
The name of the Degrassi mascot?
Yeah.
He's a lion, right?
No.
He's a tiger, a cat. He's
hey,
a panther.
How many guesses do you get?
He's a Degrassi panther.
How many
panther.
Guesses do you get?
I'm not guessing the name, dude. I was just trying to figure out what make species gender phylum he was. And now I got it down to
is
a panther.
Is he a panther, Jessica?
The answer?
No, it's a panther, correct?
Is it a panther?
It's a panther.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Serve you.
All right, hold on. He's got to get the name of it still.
Now I get still to get to take a guess. And you're not talking about who was inside the suit, what they call the character.
No, what's the name?
The name of the mascot.
See, this is a great question because Kevin not only has appeared on Degrassi, it's one of his favorite shows of all time.
It's tough. That's true. Apparently, I didn't pay that close attention. I don't know. I'll take a shot in the dark and say Vagin.
Is it Vagin?
Vagin the Panther.
Jessica.
No.
What
darn.
Is it?
His name was Sports.
Sports.
Okay.
The Panther.
They didn't try very hard with that name, did they? But still, she stumped me.
She did stump Kevin, so she definitely has tickets. So well done. Nice job. All right.
Was it
let's
a lion?
Try...
Was it a tiger? Was it a puma? Was it a crocodile? Was it a lemur? Was it a chinchilla?
It was Goofy. It was Goofy, wasn't it?
Let's try. Well, see, now, Jason, get rid of Jason and Line 8. That's way too easy. Robert is way too easy. Line 7.
Get rid of
right?
all the dudes, would you?
All right.
Let's bring some chicks into that show, man.
All right. Let's go with Richie with
basically,
the most.
It's going to be three chicks and me in a dark
Richie
theater.
Richie is on line 4. This is a good one. For folks who don't follow Kevin in the podcast world, this is going to sound like the most obscure question ever. But Richie, hi, go ahead. You're on with Kevin Smith.
Kevin's got the Smodcast.
This is a Smodcast
right.
question?
Yeah, Smodcast.
He might stump me.
Richie, turn down your radio. Richie, turn that down, man.
Oh, dear God.
We're talking to you on the phone.
Richie's just about to lose the contest.
Yeah. Richie?
Hey, Kevin.
There you go.
Hey, man. How are you, Rich?
Hey, those are your people, Smith.
Those are your people.
I speak for them.
Right,
I am the Lorax. I speak for the geeks.
Yeah. Okay. My question was, during your Smodcast, who was the first guest that you had other than Scott Mosier?
First guest on the Smodcast.
The first person we ever had on mic who wasn't Scott. Well, I can't even say that. Let me see. I'm going to go for my wife, Jen.
That's wrong. It was Walt Flanagan, Smodcast
14. It was Walt Flanagan.
Oh, look at that.
My first wife, Walt Flanagan. Wow, that dude won. He stumped me.
Wow.
Congratulations.
But do you want that guy there?
Yeah.
This guy.
He likes Smodcast. Awesome. Anybody likes Smodcast.
Congratulations, Richie. You won, man.
Oh, thank you so much, man.
You better start looking now where the Orpheum is, because I think you're going to have a hard time finding it by Saturday.
They're busting your can you say? What can you say on the air?
Busting
his
nads?
Sure. You're busting his nads, sure. Dude, because we heard you listening to the show before.
Right.
Yeah.
As most people do, but you got caught doing it.
Correct, yes.
Most people, before they jump on, they know enough to turn it down so as not to look bad in front of the radio audience.
Hey, Kevin Smith, where can people hear the Smodcast? Is it through iTunes?
You can jump online. Sometimes it is on iTunes. It's usually a week later, though. You can go to Quick Start.
He was given a website.
I know. You don't thrill a guest.
I'm just
is
used to it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
What is that?
Kevin usually shut someone
thriller?
Down when they're trying to promote their website.
That was amazing. I was just like,
hitting
wow,
with the thriller
did I win
sting.
Something? I expected balloons to
it
fall.
It started when we were talking to the people who were organizing the Thriller dance before Michael died.
The Thrill Off.
Thrill Off.
You just kept
and so,
it?
Yeah, they kept trying to give out the web address.
You
so
can
I kept
go to www.thrill. You would keep cutting them off with the Thriller
music. So that's how it started a long time ago.
Become a tradition.
I'm sorry. I hear a web address.
I feel like I'm officially part of the show.
All right, go ahead.
I'm never opening myself up to that hell again. Never.
Smart man, because he will do it again.
Totally.
All right.
But fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on
you. You'd be surprised how many times people will try it.
Yeah. I'm never saying a website, not even in real life, out in the world, for fear that somebody's be following me.
Boombox.
That's terrifying.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 8:45.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Our guest co-host this week is a tremendous writer and director and a passable actor. Kevin Smith is in our studio right here.
Just
Kevin,
passable,
that's all I've said. When you're working on your projects, when you're putting your magic together, you have actors in mind for the roles that you write sometimes, or usually do you just you start that casting process after you've already written the thing?
In the past, I've always written for people. I've worked with some cast people time and time again, like Affleck repeatedly and whatnot, Jason Lee repeatedly. Lately,
could you ever write anything cool enough for a guy like Gerard Butler? Is he so far out of your league that you don't even have in your pen to put something down?
I'd
for
be
him?
Intimidated to have this man on a set of mine, not only for his portrayal in 300, but also he's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer.
And he can sue your ass.
He's a smart guy. Yeah.
That's true.
Gerard Butler can be seen in the new film Law Abiding Citizen along with Jamie Foxx, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mr. Butler, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
We're very good, thank you.
We're doing great. Okay. All
Why don't you write something for me?
Yeah, Kevin.
Oh, I knew this was going to happen.
He sounds angry.
Can you play hockey, Gerard? Did you know the American sport of hockey?
I've heard of it.
Get to know it. Learn to skate. That's all I'm saying.
Are you writing a movie?
Who, me?
About that?
Yeah, I'm basing a flick. Well, he's here to promote his movie. Let's talk about his.
But we're trying to hook you guys up. We feel like you are two guys who ought to work together. I'd cast him
in a heartbeat.
My movie, if this is going to, you know, result in Kevin writing me a movie. Okay. Which law-abiding citizen anyway?
Sir, you don't want to be in a Kevin Smith movie. That's a career killer. You're on your rise. You got to keep rising.
All right. I definitely want to talk about Law-Abiding Citizen because it really does look very, very good. But I have to ask, first and foremost, Gerard, you hosted Saturday Night Live this weekend, and by luck of the draw, your musical guest was Shakira. Now, I want to hear every minute that you spent with her. I want to hear about right now. What was that like?
Well, I don't know if this is surprising, but in actual fact, we got to spend very little time together during the show because it is so intense and crazy when you're doing this. And on the Tuesday, I literally had to read 40 scripts in front of 70 people. I had to read them, and then I had to perform them. And you go from that to rehearsing maybe 10 that you choose, and then you're in costume fittings. You barely breathe for the whole week. So she would come in and rehearse her stuff, and I was normally somewhere else. But then I went to a charity dinner on Monday night, and by complete coincidence, she was sitting next to me.
There you go. Oh, now we're talking. And did you make your move?
We're new best friends.
New best friends. All right. Oh, she's so awesome. And she, I got to, no offense to you, I mean, you were fine and all, but I mean, I tuned in for Shakira and she did not disappoint on Saturday night, let me tell you.
Not disappoint, I agree.
Tell us about your...
I didn't pay any attention to myself.
Tell us about your movie with Jamie Foxx, who is an awesome actor as well. What do you like about Law Abiding Citizen in theaters now?
Well, you know, for me, it was a chance to climb into a role that I'm really not used to doing, the kind of anti-hero antagonist, but somebody that you have a lot of sympathy for and you can identify with. So I think it's rare that you get a movie, and this happened in 300 as well, where you can get behind these guys and go, you know what, it's a means to an end, do what you have to do, and you take a lot of joy out of the vengeance part of it. But I basically play a guy who goes on a killing streak after my family are murdered, and I'm not given any justice. And Jamie plays the prosecutor who doesn't quite help me out.
But you do it, don't you? Do most of it from jail?
That's a good point that I should probably have brought up. But
well, I'm just saying, it's impressive.
After a couple of pretty horrific acts by myself and getting by the killers, I then end up in jail. But most of what I have planned and orchestrated happens while I'm in jail. So that's why you have no idea what's going on, where the next thing is coming from. And that's why I love this film, because it was, you think it's one thing and it becomes something completely different.
Huh. Are you the kind of actor who can just read those words on a page and become that person, or did you have to do a bunch of research on, you know, crazy serial killer types?
No, I did a lot of research. I also produced this movie as well, so I had a couple of years working on this script. And in fact, for the 2 years I was working on it, I was always playing the prosecutor. And when we offered the other role, the role I ended up playing to Jamie, I ended up saying, you know what, do you want to play the prosecutor? And I'll jump over and play the Clyde Shelton role, the family man. And because that was a role that was fascinating me more and more.
Interesting.
For that very reason, I kind of wanted to climb into that headspace. But I think that just reading words on a page is not going to quite take me there.
Kevin Smith, do you have any questions for our guest?
Yeah, Gerard, what part? You're from Scotland, yes?
Yes.
What part? Which one?
From which one? Which Scotland?
Yeah, the good Scotland or the bad Scotland? No. Which Scotland? Are you up near? I was just in Glasgow last week, and I'd never been. It's such a beautiful city.
Yeah, that's where I'm from.
Are you from Glasgow? Oh, such a great place. And I went in there thinking, like, I don't know why, but I just had a train spotting kind of connection made in my head. I was like, oh, it's going to be a nation full of, you know, dudes who are just like, my pleasure and other people's leisure, like Spud. And they weren't. They were all, it's like their number one tech city in the UK. It's like their number three financial center in the UK, the second biggest city in the UK, and number one in Scotland. It's a great, great city. But they have this stuff there. The local delicacy is called the deep fried Mars bar. Have you ever had one of those, sir?
It's interesting you say that, because about 2 weeks ago I was on Bonnie Hunt doing publicity for Law Abiding, and they have a guy who fries everything there. So I did a segment with him where he deep fried a Mars bar for me, because I know Scotland is famous for that, but I've never actually had one until that moment.
Oh, that sounds killer.
Oh, it'll stop your heart, but it's so good. The idea of taking something that delicious and deep frying it, so good.
God bless. It will stop your heart, but you'll die happy. It was so delicious that even in front of the audience I just kept eating it, and then I asked for another one. I took it back to my dressing room, and then
you need to stop that, or you're going to end up looking like us, and you don't want that.
I don't know what you guys look like.
No, I'm just saying.
Well, you know what Kevin Smith looks like.
Yeah, dude, you don't want to look like me. That's an admonishment enough. Stay away from the deep-fried Mars bars.
The movie looks tense. It looks exciting. It looks like a thriller. I can't wait. Law Abiding Citizen is in theaters now, starring Jamie Foxx and our guest Gerard Butler, who I don't believe we've ever had the chance to talk to on the show today. So I'm glad you were able to call in. We really appreciate it, dude. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Take care. Bye.
It's now time for the Kevin Smith Showbiz Beat
with Ralph Garman.
I don't know how that happened. I'm not sure when that change was made. But I must say, I endorse it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, you got to lead with your best foot.
Takes
forward.
All the pressure off of me, by the way.
The most noticeable foot. Can I read an email that I received from my?
I think you should.
My wife, and it was making me chuckle.
That's from your wife?
Yeah. It says Sleeping Beauty. That refers to me. Yeah. Thursday morning from 10. Yesterday, I fell asleep at 4 o'clock and didn't wake up until this morning.
Excellent.
Now, I've been traveling a lot, doing this. Nice. You know what it's like. Thursday morning from 10:30 to 11:30, I'm having a meeting at the house with 4 people from school to talk about the poker fundraiser. I know it's an imposition, but as a favor to me, please don't smoke pot in the house while they're here. In return, you aren't required to participate in the meeting. I love you. She rocks.
Wow.
She does.
Honey, she also gives me a heads up. She's like, smoke in your car while driving home. That's what it says to me.
Smoke pot today in the house? That's all she's asking.
I know. I could do that.
She doesn't want anything more than that.
That's it.
Wow, that's something.
Got one word for you. Your answer. Brownies.
No, I can wait. I'll wait.
Hot brownies, dude.
I thought you were talking sex for a minute. I was like, we call it something else. We call it love.
All day long, we've been celebrating the life and times of Vic Mizzy, one of our heroes. He was the king of the jingle.
Green Acres.
Green Acres, of course, is the place for me.
But more importantly, the Madams family.
The Addams family. That's right. He wrote the original theme from the 1960s Smash TV show. Sang on it as well. It's his voice you hear on that show.
They're creepy and they're kooky.
That's Vic.
Mysterious and
I can suck it.
They're all together ooky. The Addams Family.
Dude, they're ooky.
Yeah.
And we're saying the original's great, but how does it compare to the...
Take us into the 90s, Mike.
The legendary remake.
Take us straight to the 90s. I'm tired of this old school 40s and 50s BS. Let me hear the Addams Family 90s style.
Now I was cool, cool, and nice. I'm just relaxed. Kicking around the house. What a knock, and a voice.
This is not good.
No. I think officially that was the last time MC Hammer got anywhere close to the charts. Was that the song that killed his career? Yeah.
Do you think Vic Mizzy back in the day heard that and felt flattered, or was just like, you know nothing of Mizzy's work? You're getting busy with Mizzy, and I don't appreciate it.
I think he appreciated the royalty check.
He must have liked the check, right?
Yeah.
Wow, he's gone. 93.
He's gone.
That's
93.
A good life, though, and he leaves behind a legacy. For the next 50 years, people are going to remember his work.
It does.
They may not know his name, but they're going to know his work. And every time you snap your fingers, your Vic Mizzy songs could come to your mind.
Just wait until the big screen remake version of Green Acres by Kevin Smith when
it's coming.
I didn't
know you were doing that.
Totally. Yeah. It's my version.
Starring Gerard Butler.
It's great. Gerard Butler's in it and focuses less on the woman and more on the pig. Him and the pig alone in a farm, and romantic things happen.
What was the pig's name? You remember?
It's not Wilbur. That's from the other thing. It was
Ziffel. Arnold Ziffel.
Arnold.
Good pull, Ralph.
Yeah.
That's what all the dudes say. Good pull, Ralph.
Speaking of pigs, Rosie O'Donnell and her girlfriend.
Nicely done.
Apparently, I will not be involved in any sort of fact joke whatsoever.
Two having trouble in their relationships are splitting, according to these sources.
Wait, Rosie O'Donnell and her girlfriend?
And Kelly Carpenter, yes.
Wow, I thought they'd last forever.
For a long
time.
Don't
they have all those kids?
They have 4 children together. We are a family, Rosie says. We'll remain a family forever. We're working on our issues regarding the split between her and
Kelly Carpenter.
Good this news. Is why gays shouldn't be allowed to be married.
Wait, can I reread that?
Good
release?
News. She's
basically
single,
that
boys.
That release says, I just don't want to have sex with her anymore.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
All it means.
Just that.
There's no crime in that. She just got tired. She wants to move on.
Did you say she's single, boys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not.
Here's our chance.
Ultimate challenge.
That's right.
Yeah, any real man. Hey, Gerard Butler. I got somewhere you can stick a flag.
Let's bring Rosie back to our side.
Bring her back, dude. Just like she was in the baseball movie back in the day.
That's right. Remember League of Her Own?
Totally.
She loved the bat.
She got a boy in that movie. Remember at the
now
end there was a
the
guy.
Mitt. She used to love the bat.
She's a total catcher.
Was it Exit to Eden or something?
Exit to Eden, yes, where she was in leather gear with Dan Aykroyd.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
The winemaker.
My eyes will smell that forever. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Kardashian.
Glendale!
Her 29th birthday today.
Is she from Glendale?
No, she's Armenian.
You might as well.
Anytime we mention the Armenians, Mike screams out Glendale.
Is that a big,
big concentration large. Of Armenians in that area?
Yeah. Are the Armenians to be feared, Ralph, or no?
I don't believe so. No.
Okay, good to know.
Don't they cut off feet?
What?
In the shield.
That's it.
In the shield.
Isn't that
that's
where
the,
we get all
that's
our
the Armenians? Yeah, everything we know, we know from
but
TV
that's
shows.
The mob.
So yes.
Yeah.
That's the mob, though.
Well, they're not all in the mob.
Oh, but some of them
most
are.
Well, but I just heard nice cell phone salesmen and rug salesmen.
I hear they're mobbing in Glendale is what I'm hearing from these dudes, exactly. And I want to know, should I be avoiding Glendale?
That's what I'm saying.
I heard they do what they want to do, say what they want to say. That's what they
the
say.
The Armenian family.
Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains, who may be a drug addict, gay, or dead. We're not sure. 33 years.
I think he's on the up and up. I think that dude's one of the few that escaped pretty relatively intact.
And then we're sorry, Jeremy. For
Ben Siever?
Yeah.
For everything we've been Ben Siever did today. It. And Carrie Fisher, the fish, as we like to call her around here. She is 53 years old today. She'll always be Princess Leia. To those
I got one more birthday.
You have another birthday?
It was yesterday. Yesterday was Mallrats was released 14 years ago. The day on Monday it was Clerks released 15 years ago.
Now Mallrats.
And then yesterday was Mallrats. Isn't that weird?
Celebrate the birthdays of your films this
week? And they're
week?
Odd. They're odd birthdays too. Like not celebratory numbers 10, 20. It's like 14, 15.
Yeah.
But if I don't celebrate me, who will?
Happy birthday, Mallrats.
Thank you. Mallrats thanks you.
Kevin and I walk the show this week.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show with our special guest in studio this week, Kevin Smith, and now joined also by Miss Cleo, who answers the phones for you here at the Kevin and Bean Show. And Miss Cleo, well, she's got problems.
She came to us yesterday and she said, I need help. I need the help of the listeners. I need to figure out what I can do about this. And
what happened to you that you need help, Cleo? What happened to you the other day?
It's not your boobs, is it? Your boobs are okay, right?
No, they're fine. They're good.
Okay, good. Thank God.
Look how big her boobs are.
I can't. I'm married. I'm a neck up guy.
Look, they're huge.
If you're a man, I can look at you from the neck down. If you're a woman, I'm all neck up.
How about the waist down if I'm a man? Can you
totally.
Look at me
even
later?
If you're naked. My wife has no problem me staring full frontally at male nudity. All women, right. She would have even clad nudity.
All right, so what happened to you, Cleo? What happened?
I may have gotten another speeding ticket.
Another speeding ticket.
So you wanted to know how to save your license?
Yes.
How many speeding tickets have you received in the last, what's the time frame? Is it 18 months that you, that they drop off
correct.
After 18 months? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I know that's the limit for a school, for traffic school.
Traffic school, yeah.
Do.
Yeah, but I think they stay on your license longer than that.
Oh,
and
okay.
I think it's not just speeding tickets that we're talking about. It's any kind of moving violation. I think they all carry equal weight.
I don't know if they do it out here, but back east, it's all a point system. And the more tickets you get points. And
right.
Once you hit a certain amount of points, they take your license.
So how many tickets do you have right now?
Yesterday might have been my sixth.
That's sixth speeding ticket in one
Cleo.
It was my fifth speeding ticket. The first ticket that I got was for being in the carpooling.
Are you getting pulled over by female cops or male cops?
Both.
In what span of time?
It's been
six tickets in,
I think, 9 or 10 months.
Wow.
Nine months.
A year. You're a menace.
Within a year.
That's within this year. She has six tickets.
Oh, you hear Cleo. That, Los Angeles? Get off the road.
Cleo.
Well, how many tickets would it take you to stop speeding is what I want.
Well,
at what point do you make the decision, you know what, I've got five now. Maybe I should keep my traveling within the limits of speed.
That's a good question.
I thought I had been.
Did you now?
Yeah.
But it turns out not so much.
Yesterday, Ralph was very frustrated. He's like, is there a way in the car that you can tell how fast you're going?
Well, the automaker should put some sort of gauge or something on the dash where you can actually judge the speed of your
automobile.
Don't be ridiculous.
If you have an iPhone, there's an app that'll tell you how fast you're moving.
Right. But she seemed like she was completely helpless. Like, there's nothing I could do about it.
She just said, I thought I was going the limit.
When they pulled me over, the first thing that went through my head was, oh, crap, my headlight is out. Is that what she's pulling me over for? No, it's in the middle of the day. Someone stole the sticker off of my plate, and she thinks my registration is expired.
Okay, let me explain.
So you were running through all what it could be?
What it could be. And speed was
never
once
on
the speedometer.
Okay, but you have received 5 other tickets this year. How does that not enter your mind?
How
you go,
come you're
oh,
not
no.
like, wow, I wonder, I hope it's not what it was last time.
Right.
A week ago.
Instead, you're just like, I might have to use my mouth on this person. You're taking all these like extreme situations. Just go with speeding.
I don't know.
There's no point. Point of view that says, wow, I have a history of this. I'm going to make a point of monitoring my speed.
I have been. Every morning I use
You have not been. You just got a ticket for speeding.
You haven't been, really.
He's got a point there.
Okay.
Yeah. Cleo, here's why we're so confused, and maybe you're just blinded by your own personal experience and you don't realize how the rest of us handle this. Many people listening have been in the same situation, and what happens is after they get the second ticket, they go, okay, now grace period is over.
Right.
Now it's serious. The next one is really going to do more damage than either my wallet or my lifestyle can afford because I'm not going to be able to drive if I get another one. I'm going to make sure I never get a speeding ticket until those tickets drop off my license. That's the priority when they get behind the wheel. How does that not occur to you after you got your third and then your fourth and then your fifth ticket?
She thought, oh, maybe it's my front headlight.
Yeah. I mean, why is that not
on, Bean's coming on a little strong like he's Judge Wapner.
Moments
where Wapner used to come down on people.
Yeah.
Well,
rightly
no,
so. Mr. Schmidt, you don't deal with Cleo on a
Cleo, I've
basis.
Dealt with Cleo for 3 mornings. She's been lovely.
She's a very nice girl, but lovely. Bean knows going in that Cleo lives in this consequence-free world.
Right.
Where
right.
This is everything she does. It's like, I don't understand.
Oh, so it's an aggro?
Why are the cops coming down on me? Because you were speeding.
Why were you speeding? I didn't think I was. Now I know. How do I get out of this? That's what her first thought is.
Yes,
every time she screws
exactly.
anything up, it's
oh, as
like,
opposed to being like, how should I correct my past
exactly,
in the future?
Right.
How,
like, how
do I
my
stop
behavior?
This thing?
Right
she
now.
Looks outwardly and
but
says,
this is
who's going to fix this for me?
Why are they doing this to me?
Right.
There's an old adage that says it applies to actresses, but it'll apply in this situation as well. A normal person like you or me walks into a room, sees a bowl full of fruit on a table, says, oh, wow, there's a big bowl full of fruit on the table. I wonder who that's for. An actress walks into the room and says, look, they left a bunch of fruit for me. and that seems to be the approach that you're taking here, which is just like, why are they persecuting me
right.
for speeding?
But
you just answered your own question.
But I'm going to suggest again, like Bean said, there are ways to monitor your speed. And most people see trouble coming and they back off.
I have been, like every morning, I've been doing 75 and I use cruise control so that I think.
75 is that? Where's that?
Yeah, where's that?
Is that
the
Autobahn? Do you drive here on the Autobahn?
No, but 75 is relatively safe.
That's not
the speed limit.
If you
know what? You have that option. You have that option if you don't have any speeding
that's
ticket.
That's true.
Then 75 is relatively safe for
that's
you.
That's true.
If you're on your fourth speeding ticket, 75 is no longer an option for you.
But
64 is your limit. That
who's
is your speed limit.
64.
Screw you. You need to drive it.
People who want to continue to drive to work are the people who are driving 64 in your shoes, Cleo. What are you going to do? I mean, legitimately, you might get your license taken away. That's a very
that's
real
you
concern.
Need. You need two wheels and a stick.
A Segway.
You can't
speed
on a Segway.
I looking at, like, buses. Like, what happens if this legit... I would have to get on a bus from my house at 10:45 the night before to get here at 5:30 in the morning.
That's why most of us will slow down
and
before
plus,
that happens.
You never know. You could be on a bus. It could blow up. There's a terrorist type situation. Buses in L.A. not to be trusted.
Some buses
55
you
miles
can't
an hour.
Go below a certain speed. Or
right.
below. I saw that in a movie
like
once.
She's got the reverse speed. Like,
right,
it's just like, I can't go below 75 miles per hour or
let's
else
talk to Tim.
I might get a ticket.
Tim's
going to
help us out. Hey,
I
Tim.
Don't want her getting any help.
Tim, what's your
How's
theory?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Ralph.
Yes.
Take a Xanax, man.
No, seriously. No, actions have repercussions. That's how the world needs to work.
I know, and when you freak out, you have a heart attack. Just calm down.
So calm down
well,
for your
if
own
I
health.
Have a heart attack, then it's my fault for freaking out. I get what I deserve, right?
Or Cleo's fault for speeding.
Yes, exactly.
It is her fault.
Hey, I know what the problem is,
all right,
guys. What's my problem?
all of the extra weight from her boobs being in her lap, how could she possibly hold that gas pedal from the floor of the car?
So it's the weight of her boobs that's the problem.
Right?
Yeah.
Hear the lack of laughter now? That's the repercussions for the joke you just made.
And by that logic, wouldn't her heavy bosom also fall on the brake as well?
That's a good question.
It's the horizontal pedal right next to the vertical.
I'll take inertia. Maybe the weight of the boobs keeps the car moving
forward.
Well,
it's like when I have sex. Like, I thrust forward, and then 2 seconds later, the rest of me follows. So you're getting a double hit from me. So when I'm driving a car and I brake, I start braking 20 feet back because it's going to be a secondary brake.
All right, okay, listen. We got to take a break. But here's the point. First of all, there's a lot of things going on here. Not the least of which is that Miss Cleo is so retarded that she has those boobs and didn't use them to get out of tickets.
That was my first question,
by the way.
Possibly, I don't know any woman that has one ticket, let alone seven.
Yeah, how do you not
my
use
wife,
those?
My wife, who I know would not like make sexual overtures to the police officer, it still gets out of tickets just by being like, was I? I don't know. And she puts her hair behind her ear.
I tried it. I'm not good
Then you might need to go
it.
A step no, further.
But,
take one of them out and start licking it or something. That'll send a very clear message to a police officer.
She says she tried it. We know, Cleo. This is the cop
she
will
doesn't
come up
try it.
And she'll say, what? What now? What are you doing now?
Did you fight the cop? They don't like that.
That is her.
I didn't this time.
All right. We need to take a break. 1-800-520-1067. We will take a break and come right back with your calls on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We only have time for a couple of your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Against Ralph's wishes, we are going to take some advice on how Miss Cleo can keep her license.
You got tight about that.
I want her to do time. That's what I want. What about the murder button? Where's the murder button?
No, I don't want to kill her for it, but I do want her to do hard time in a woman's correctional facility, and I want a webcam.
And a webcam? Wow. Okay, I'm in on that.
I can get behind that. I don't think her infraction was that big a deal. But
murder. For folks who have just joined us, Miss Cleo is a horrible driver. She's gotten 6 tickets in 9 months, and she's very concerned all of a sudden that there may be repercussions to her actions.
But I might lose my license.
But deep down, I still think she feels she's being persecuted and it's not her fault somehow. Why don't we start with an actual defense attorney on line 3. This is going to be Mytol, I think, who's calling us on the Kevin Bean Show, who may have some advice for Miss Cleo. Hi, Mytol.
It's Maytol.
Maytol. I apologize. What do you got for Cleo?
Love your period drug, by the way. It's good work.
All right. How could she keep her license?
All right. Well, first, if you drive a certain amount of miles a month, I don't remember exactly what it is. I think it's like 2,000. You can get allotted an extra point on your license.
1 point.
So if she's gone to traffic school once, so she's got, like, let's say 5 points now. And then she can get this last one. She can get an extra allotted point.
I see.
Bonus points
if she drives a certain
frequent driver's miles.
She drives a lot. I like it.
All right.
And then I turned off my radio, so I didn't hear how fast she was going. She was going 75. Is that right?
No, I was going 85, but because the officer said I was so forthcoming and honest with them, they put me at 80.
Okay.
So the ticket is for 80.
You can fight. Ticket, and what you can do is they have to do traffic surveys for every street, and so if you're at the 85% mark, which means 85% of people drive at 80 miles an hour, you can fight the ticket.
In other words, you can argue that you're just keeping up with the flow of traffic.
Exactly.
What if she was darting from lane to lane in between cars while going 85?
What about that?
Isn't that uncomfortably
then she
close?
Shown a little more skin.
It just whoa! What kind of lawyer is this?
a truthful one.
To like, hey, if everybody's doing it, you can get away with it. Like the girls admitted that she broke the law,
right?
And this lawyer is going like, you can get away with it though.
Yeah, if a lot of people are breaking the law, if everyone's doing it, it's cool.
But there is a certain thing where thank you for calling, Maytol. There is a certain thing where
thank
they say,
"Thank you for your moral integrity, Maytol." That's what I'm saying.
Are you keeping up with the flow of traffic?
That's true. But you would have to make the argument that, like, I had no choice but to go 85 miles per hour because I had, like, 20 people behind me. Was that the case?
No. The cop apparently was following me for miles.
There's your excuse. You're like, I was being chased by a cop. I had to go as fast as possible.
Let's try Daniel on line 7. It sounds like he's every bit as bad a driver as Miss Cleo, and he's done something about it that seems to have worked. Hi, Daniel. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What'd you do? How many tickets did you have?
Yeah, I had a similar situation, except my number was about 8.
8 tickets.
But in what month span?
Daniel, how long?
At the time.
What's that?
I was very poor at the time, so I couldn't pay anything.
Right.
Or, you know, and I needed to be able to drive, so I couldn't have my license taken away.
So what did you do?
I went to every single court date.
Okay, and fought every ticket.
Yeah, and see, I drive all over L.A., so I had court dates in Beverly Hills, West Hollywood, Pasadena.
Okay.
Okay, but once you got
to those court dates, what did you do? How did you get out of a ticket? What was your defense?
Well, you know, I did a lot of online research. I printed out something called case law, which is a lawyer thing I don't really know about, but I printed out a bunch of it, and there's a lot of ways to defend yourself.
Yeah, if like Miss Cleo tries to defend herself in a court of law, she will get the death penalty somehow, I promise you.
Some people should not represent themselves.
Yes.
But how many tickets did you get out of, Daniel?
I got out of seven of them.
Seven of eight?
I am shocked based on talking to you on the phone right now. Wow. I'm shocked by that.
Seven out of eight you got out of.
I had to. It was a necessity. There's nothing else I could have done.
Wait. Everyone thinks it's a necessity, but they don't understand that it's a privilege to have a driver's license. It's not a right. You know that, right?
This sounds fishy. This sounds like...
You think he's lying?
I think maybe there... I think somebody... I'm not saying who, but someone might have sucked their way out of a few of those tickets.
I see.
You know
okay.
what I'm saying? That just sounds too implausible. Seven tickets, I agree. Beat the system.
All right, let's take one more call because we're out of time, and it's going to be Ed. He's on line three. He is a police officer, so I think we should listen up what Mr. Ed has to say here.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ed.
Hey, how's it going?
Do you believe that last guy, Daniel, that said he got out of seven out of eight tickets?
No.
All right. Let's check. What do you got for Miss Cleo?
Well, first of all, like, she needs to ride a bike.
Right? That's my answer, too.
All right.
That's a moot point. But the only thing that I would suggest that she do is
try
to extend all your court dates, well, other than ride a bike. Extend all your court dates and just keep extending them. Pray to God that...
That all the officers that were supposed to testify against her die of old age?
Yeah, but I mean, if you can extend the court date, sometimes, you know, they fall on vacation times and... you may end up showing up to court, and whoever's supposed to be in court against you is not going to be there, and you automatically win.
But I've done all of that, and I still got my tickets.
Well, you're going to say, though, let's give it up
then
for him.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to go.
Yes, I have.
And,
if you've gotten all these tickets within this short of a period of time, you haven't been extending your court dates,
Mike,
because you've been going to all your court dates. If you had extended them, they would still be going on.
No, I just finished my last one like a month ago. So that was the end of, like... these four that were back-to-back.
Ed, you can hear how shaky she is, right?
Yeah.
That is her Hail Mary, though, now, is to hope that the cop doesn't show up. That's all you got.
Ed, could you come down and take her into custody right now, please?
Please?
Come on.
Will no one teach her a lesson? Will no one finally teach her a lesson?
Oh, I think it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Five is the magic number, Lisa? She's all of a sudden now going to start driving reasonably?
No, I don't think she's going to have a license.
That's going to be my lesson, is when it's revoked and I have to figure out how to get here at 5 in the morning every morning.
Stop being all angry about it. Like,
then the lesson will be learned. Can we stop for a moment and acknowledge the fact that this cop just came on the air and gave us inside information?
Oh, yeah, that's...
It's like having a Nazi spy. You know what I'm saying? He's feeding us from the other side. That's the enemy. This is amazing. He's collaborating.
He's not the enemy.
He's not the enemy.
Do you know the enemy?
I don't. No.
Ed, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Green Day.
Leave it there. Miss Cleo, just admit that you are a fail, okay?
Okay.
A fail? An epic fail?
Epic fail.
Yeah, I'd say epic.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, time for our final showbiz beep.
It's now time for the Kevin Smith Showbiz Beat
with Ralph Garman.
Interesting list in Maxim magazine. While we have the legendary Kevin Smith with us, I thought we'd run through the top 10 cougars in movie history.
That's where I am in life. I'm a cougar man at this point. I'm always looking online in porn for people I may have grown up with, but I'm not looking at the right porn. Because I'd have to be looking at cougar porn.
That's
true.
Old.
Yeah. I'm ready for this list.
You're a manther.
I am kind of a manther.
You're a manther, yeah.
I'm a man muff.
Here's the top 10 cougars in movie history, right?
Yeah, movie history ever.
That's according to Maxim magazine.
Yeah, no.
Angela Bassett and how Stella got her groove back.
BS.
Okay.
All right.
BS.
Number 9, Cloris Leachman in Last Picture Show.
Oh.
Oh, come on. BS.
No, she was the coach as well. Remember,
it
was banging
BS.
It's
calling BS, dude.
I call BS.
What are you going to do?
Kim Basinger in The Door in the Floor.
Yes.
Did we all enjoy that movie?
I've never heard of that.
Who, really?
I know the one you're talking about.
He's a writer. Jeff Bridges is a writer. And no, I disagree.
All right. So far, we have no hits.
Zero out of three.
Smith list. White Palace, Susan Sarandon in White Palace.
I would do that. James Spader. Sexy in that movie. James Spader. The sex was hot.
Yeah. Mary Steenburgen in...
Steenburgen, we like to say.
In What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Are you still a virgin?
Yes,
no,
I am.
A virgin. What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Gilbert Grape?
But I'd give it to her. What did I see her in that movie?
Step Brothers.
but there was a movie where she was... what was it? It was with the dude who played young Anakin Skywalker. The emo kid. Wasn't Mallrats. What was his name? You know.
Paul Walker.
Jake Lloyd?
Hayden Christensen in a movie, I think it's called Life is a House, and Steenburgen was in it at one point.
Is she a cougar? Is she banging young
She's
people?
Having
I
sex with,
Ke-
I think it's Kevin Kline, and at one point she like hops out of bed completely naked.
Yes.
This woman, who's like in her 50s, looks hotter than like who I dated when I was in high school. That's not
this
saying
isn't
much.
This is a list of
who,
hot
who
old
the really
bros.
Hot guys.
This is women who are in movies. They were older women banging young dudes.
I'm saying
Kevin
Steve
Kline
Burgess
doesn't count as a young
That's
dude.
That's true. Right. That's my bad. My bad.
You're muddy in the water, Smith.
I'm sorry. I misheard the list. I'm just trying to get that Steenburgen thing out there. Does anybody agree?
No. I don't
know what you're talking about. Gilbert Grape, Johnny Depp in that movie.
Get Life as a House and watch the scene where she gets out of bed completely naked, dude. You're just like, oh my gosh, she's cut from God. Own wood. Yeah, it's not that old at all. It's like 2 years
I
old.
I don't see myself doing that.
Kim Cattrall, Sex and the City.
No, no!
He's like, if I'm going to use porn, it's going to be cheap porn.
Kim Cattrall, Sex and the City, the movie.
I agree with that
great
completely.
Naked.
The moose.
I, she may be nervous, but she likes
cougars.
To.
These
she
are the
likes
top
to,
10 cougars, like movies about older women banging younger
and
guys.
And she's
that's
always into doing like the way out there things. I give her to her.
Yeah.
Her character.
Jennifer Coolidge in American Pie, where Stifler's mom, legendary cougar, right?
Sure.
I like her. I like her a lot, but I wouldn't put that moment as like one of the top 10. That's why Maxim, come on.
Jane Seymour, Wedding Crashers.
There it is.
Yes.
Remember she shows her hands?
She's attractive.
Very attractive. Owen Wilson, right? Number two, Jacqueline.
I still wouldn't put that top 10, though.
Jacqueline Bisset in Class with Andrew McCarthy. Remember that?
Wow, that's going back, man.
Don't remember anything about that.
And number one, of course, the classic legendary, the original movie Cougar, Anne Bancroft in The Graduate, when she sleeps with Dustin Hoffman.
Gotta be, yeah.
One, number one omission off that list, Diane Lane in that movie where she cheats with...
Yeah, but he wasn't a kid, though.
He was like 30, and she's, you know...
Still, that's not
that
cool.
Was
not
a that was a horrifying movie for a married man. That was true terror. That was
and
a horror movie
Gere
if you're married.
Wasn't Gere her husband in that?
Yes, and you're Richard Gere, and you're like good enough. Like, you're Richard Gere, man. You can
but
get
Frenchie's
chicks.
Nailing it when you're not around.
Frenchie is just poking the pooter behind your back
just
like
tearing
crazy.
It up.
Oh, that movie was terrifying.
Yeah.
But a French guy, no less. It wasn't even some American guy's like, ooh, I wouldn't do it right.
Some frog.
Yeah, damn frog.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Kardashian, she's 29 years old today. Her and Reggie Bush apparently still together.
Yep.
Really? Kim says she wants to have a baby before her 30th birthday, so in the next year or so, you should expect a little Bush baby.
Oh.
What? Whoa. I'm just saying. His name's Reggie Bush.
Right, of course.
She wants to have a baby. That's the guy she's dating.
That's his last name.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
I heard she's had sex on tape. Somebody told me that
today.
Oh,
has she?
Right on. Good for her. Happy birthday.
Jeremy, why don't you show that at the party?
Yeah.
Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains. We still don't have any real facts on Jeremy. We really didn't haven't done our
apparently
due diligence.
He don't listen to K-Rock.
He would have called,
he called him by now and be like, I'm neither dead, gay, or gay.
33 years old today. Carrie Fisher, who is probably a cougar in her own right. But
she got a hell of a right. She got a show on Broadway, Wishful Drinking, it's called.
Yep.
Yeah. Based on her
her book. Very, very funny, her show is.
She is 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I walk it too.
Yeah, with Kevin Smith.
Kevin and I walk Kevin. Together. Kevin will be back tomorrow. Craig Robinson will be here as well with his keyboard.
Well, I like that guy.
Yeah, he's
and,
great.
Zach and Mary, you guys work together.
He's a talented man.
And Slash will be here as well tomorrow. So come back tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And also, don't forget, by the way, if you haven't yet picked up your tickets to see Kevin Smith on stage for a Q&A, it's going to be great times this Saturday night at the Orpheum. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Don't go away. Kat Corbett's next. She's got the 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music that you know and love, including the new one from the Foo Fighters called Wheels. Also, some Slightly Stupid, Linkin Park, MGMT, and Incubus, all straight ahead right here on K-Rock.